They showed us his phone that it was off. So please, let's switch off our cellular phone so that it does not. No, don't mind him. Don't mind him. All right. By way of starting a Comrade Minister, I would request that everybody introduce themselves, so we know who is here, and I think, yeah, we have National Treasury, we have the Auditor General's Office, and then comrades can introduce themselves, and then we can then agree on how we move forward. So may we have, starting from you, let everybody introduce themselves, and then we can get started.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I've noticed that when people are at SCOPA, they are very unfriendly. But when they are in other committees, they are very friendly. I came in here and I greeted three MPs. When I look this way, I don't see them. When I look this way, I see them. And they kept quiet. Under normal circumstances, they would greet back. But they're at SCOPA today, they are very hostile.
Wow.
My name is Ayanda Zoto, Chairperson, Minister of Communications. Thank you.
My name is Audrey Rapela, Chairperson. I'm the Acting CFO of SABC.
My name is Matata Tsedu, and I'm the Deputy Chair of the Interim Committee, the Board of the SABC.
All right.
Morning, Chair. My name is Krish Naidu, Non-Executive Board Member.
John Matteson, Interim Board of the SABC.
Good morning, Honourable Members. Good morning, Chair. My name is Bessie Tugwana. I'm the Acting COO at the SABC.
Good morning, Chair and Honourable Members. My name is Nomsa Piliso, the Group Executive for Television.
Chairperson, Honourable Members. My name is Basani Baloyi. I'm the Acting DG for the DOC.
Morning, Honourable Members and Chair. My name is Ayanda Mkize. I'm the General Manager for Supply Chain Management Governance at the SABC.
Good morning, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members. My name is Simon Mlautsi, Head of Supply Chain Management, SABC.
Good morning, Chair and the Honourable Members. My name is Andres Mashuko. I'm the Head of Forensic at SABC.
Good morning. My name is Solish Tangano from National Treasury.
Right. Auditor General's Office.
Good morning, Chairperson. My name is Zipozonke Mhloli from Auditor General.
Good morning, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members, colleagues, Honourable Minister. My name is Andries Segeto. I'm from the Office of the Auditor General.
Morning, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members and Minister. I'm Alice Miller, Corporate Executive from the Auditor General.
Thank you, comrades. May we introduce ourselves.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, Minister. Good morning to everybody. My name is Miami Zifuwe. Very innocent person.
Alright, okay.
Good morning, my name is Vincent.
Molweni, Kamala Mtombovyo Mente, Ilungule Komita.
Honourable Chair, colleagues, Honourable Minister, Chair, when the Minister greeted us, I was making my way over, you started the meeting, so we're very friendly. My name is Mkulego Tengo, member of the committee.
Can you introduce yourself, comrade?
Morning, my name is Thapelo Chilwa, member of the committee.
Right, I'm Comrade Temba Godi, I chair the committee. Well, once again, like Izolo, the minister has cabinet commitments that require her not to be here. Now, we have agreed that she's going to leave, and crossing our fingers that as and when the meeting ends, she will join us. But before she leaves, we'll give her 2 to 3 minutes to make a few remarks that she agreed. Few remarks that she may need to make before she leaves. But I do want to say, Comrade Minister, before you even say something or even leave, that we take very, very seriously the issues and the challenges at the SABC. And the last time we were there, the officials should know, and the board, that we're not left with a good impression. We were seriously convinced that we were hitting our head against a brick wall. And I think the board and the officials must help create a different impression on us about them as the leadership of the SABC, that they are indeed, they don't see us as an unwelcome intrusion into their exclusive space of maladministration and corruption, but that we have a constitutional responsibility. But even above the constitution, we have a political responsibility, because that responsibility is about our people, and our people are above the constitution. Can't be the other way around. So that element and that aspect must be respected and must be reflected in the way we interact. We don't want a bitter taste to be left in our mouths as we engage. But like I said, when we're at the SABC, there's no way, there's no question. We're going to deal with the rot that is there. Whether there is any obfuscation or whatever, it will merely delay the inevitable. One thing for sure, that place is going to be cleaned out, and all those who are responsible for all the wrongs that have been done in that institution will be and must be exposed and be dealt with. So as you leave them behind, I hope we will have an interaction much, much different from the one that we had that side. And I'm not going to say anything about specific instances that we noted, that we don't think this is how Parliament should, you know, interact with an entity in terms of some of the things that we observed. So we are starting from a negative today. Now push us to the positive. Yeah.
Welcome, Minister. You know, we like you in the committee, but we've got a responsibility. In your remark, you'll then tell us where he is. I'll have to call him Honorable Akuma. Why has he disappeared? And what's going on with him? Because we thought that he's an accounting officer. Now we don't see him here. And he did the same thing when we arrived at the SABC. We had to wait for him because he had this special operation that he decided that he has got. But in the performance of when we were doing our work, he didn't show any sign that he went to an operation. He was very active. Now we knew that he's coming here. he has disappeared again. Now, we don't take time to this type of behavior, Minister. We told the SABC that we would like to see them and want to help them to get out of the problems that we see them being in. But it seems as if the acting whatsoever is not prepared to cooperate with SCOP. So he's adding to the negativity and the perceptions that we have, that he seems to be legitimizing the problems that are taking place within the institution. But we'll just persuade you, or whoever can tell us, where is Mr. Aguma? Because we really need him. Because all the promises that are seated with him, he makes all the promises and tell us where we're going. When he's not here, he does create the wrong impression about the SABC itself.
Yes, Ross, Comrade Kuno.
Jefferson, just to add my disappointment to my colleagues, and I share their view in terms of really being very, very much disturbed that Mr. Aguma is not present. I believe, and this is my sincere feeling, that there's a total disregard for SCOPA in terms of what we're trying to achieve, as Mr. Honorable Boyes pointed out. And we've experienced this when we were in the SABC, and there was a deliberate, in my view, non-attendance from Mr. Aguma, and I believe that we should take very serious action, Chairperson, in this regard. I think he's instrumental for the total collapse in terms of governance, and he is really compromising the whole issue of finding suitable solutions for the SABC.
All right. Comrade Kuno.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, Minister, and congratulations. And on this baptism of fire from SCOPA as well. Chairperson, I agree with what comrades are saying. Aguma, you know, when we were in Pretoria, he said he had an operation. Who goes to an operation and comes back the same day? I mean, he thinks that we are his kids. And what we have done before, Chairperson, and through the WIPA, I really need a direction. We have returned an entity before, because the accounting officer was not there. In the PFMA, an accounting officer of any entity or a department must come and account to the rents and cents of the department, because at the end of the day, they are the ones who are dealing with accountability. So I'm not sure if we're going to carry on with this hearing if Mr. Aguma is not here. I think we'll be setting a wrong precedent. We've done it before. And it should be clear to him. All these people who came here today, the flights that they've paid to come here and the accommodation should be taken from Aguma's salary. Because he's not taking us seriously. This is Parliament, and there are so many problems in SABC. What he's doing here is injustice to the public out there. Thanks.
All right. I would have imagined that you should have asked the question and then got a response. You may find that he's in jail or he's in hospital. I'm talking purely at a conceptual level, that unless and until you hear where he is, you then can't. That's my point. Lengwa?
No, thanks, Chair. You have partly covered me, but I can almost predict that whatever response of where he is will get will not be satisfactory, but I'll give it the benefit of the doubt. But Chair, maybe in answering the question, what we need to establish first is this. When we were at SABC, we were told that Mr. Aguma's acting was ending the next day, or had ended that day, or so I want to first determine his status in the SABC now. Is he acting? Is he not acting? What role is he holding? And then to find out from delegation that's here, what if he is not here, and presumably his ending took effect, then who is the acting, who's the accounting officer? Even the acting CFO
when we were there, we were told no, her acting had ended either the day before or it just ended that day. Now she says she's acting again. Has that acting been renewed? So I think, Chair, as part of determining the suspicious whereabouts of Mr. Akuma, can we be clear at first in terms of who's who in the zoo? How are they acting, the period of acting, so that we can just determine what is Kuluma no bani first and foremost as part and parcel of this expedition.
Right. Okay. Comrade Simente and then Comrade Vincent.
Thanks, Chair. Chairperson, it's very painful. Very, very painful to go through the very same exercise over and over and over again. The last time SABC was here with the previous minister, there was Akuma and the other people. Today there is a new board, there is a new minister. Whatever we're going to ask here or whatever clarity we're going to be seeking from them is based on Akuma's responses and whatever he has done in the SABC. So if they haven't done anything so far, it's always going to be Akuma knows, we don't know. That is very, very painful. You try to correct something and yet you are correcting it with people that do not know what's happening. And the person who knows deliberately doesn't come. I agree with Sengwa. Whatever reason we are going to get is going to be very unsatisfactory. And Akuma must be here and account on what he was accounting for the previous meeting they were here and during the visit at the SABC. So we cannot now hold new people accountable that do not know anything. The person who knows must come and account. Thank you.
Comrade Vincent.
Thanks, Comrade Chair. Not taking away from what members are saying, but just to set the record straight, Chair, my understanding is that the accounting authority is the board. Now, I agree that Mr. Akuma is integral in answering the questions that we were preparing for, but the accounting authority is the board.
Can you pull the mic closer to you?
I'm saying the accounting authority is the board, so that we clear on who the accounting authority is for the SABC. But I do agree with members that the person that would have had a greater impact in terms of answering the questions would have been the acting GCE or Mr. Akuma, whatever title he holds now. But just so that it's clear that the accounting authority is the board and they're here. My second point is, Chair, again, not taking away from members. This is a going concern, a going institution. Those that are sitting here today must answer for it, because when they were appointed, they knew full well what they were in for. So I think that we must continue with the interrogation. I think that we deserve an answer for why Mr. Akuma is not here, and that matter must be taken up seriously by the accounting authority, because we don't take kindly to the fact that he's not here. And as members have said, he wasn't here when we were in Johannesburg at the end of March. So I thought, let's put it that way, Chair, to try and marry all these points. They must answer why he's not here, but I think the business of the day must continue, because those that are ultimately accountable for the running of the SABC are before us.
All right. As I give the minister, comrades, remember what happened when we were at the SABC. You remember when we had to go and caucus and said, let us be strategic. We must not allow ourselves to be derailed. Just let's keep that in the back of our minds. But let me hear from the minister. Well, the deputy chairperson of the board is also here. But let me allow the minister to make a remark, but also to talk to the issues that comrades have raised.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I would plead with the committee chairperson that we continue with the city, for the simple reason that the more we postpone because someone is not here, the more we postpone dealing with issues in the SABC. And the board that is the accounting authority, as Honorable Smith correctly says, is seized with a lot of work at the SABC. And postponing issues because of one person is not going to help the board to discharge its mandate. My humble plea is that we continue with the hearing today. If there are any other issues, we can tackle them differently. But I would really want us to move on these issues, because this session will also give you a bit more information than you had in the last meeting that you had with the SABC. I arrived at the SABC on Monday to prepare for this sitting, and Mr. Aguma was not there. I was told that he's not well, he's sick. Now, if that has happened in the past and the following day he was there, I really would not want to delve into that, because I'm not a medical doctor, so I would not know what operation he had gone for. It could have been something minor.
Just a minute. Please, whoever is going to come in late, please close the door. Yes, continue.
So I would just appeal that, you know, he says he is sick. Let's just leave it at that. But it's coincidental that the sick leave is taken when we're supposed to meet SCOPA is a different matter altogether. But I hear the concerns of the honorable members. I had ratified the appointment of the board specifically because we need to commence with the work as prescribed by the Broadcasting Act and other supporting legislation, and also as prescribed by the ad hoc committee report. The board started its work. I have been very close to issues at the SABC. At one point, Chairperson, I had actually asked the board to find a caretaker CEO and to look for a turnaround strategist that in the interim, whilst we're looking for a CEO, the board would be able to do its work without hindrance. And unfortunately, that has not been done. And I can imagine that they really were concentrating on other things, but also at the same time trying to find a suitable candidate that would come in as a caretaker CEO, because I do concur with the view that if a team has presided over what we are here about today, that is not the right team to take you through any change that you want to introduce in an organization, especially on governance issues. So I am told by the deputy chairperson that someone has been appointed as acting CEO. So as we speak today, Mr. Aguma is not the acting CEO. I hope I have answered.
Don't we have the name of the person?
His name is...
Or her name.
It's Sidiso Ralitab. Yeah, Ralitab. He is the GE for technology. But the process to appoint almost a new executive at the SABC is underway. We've advertised. So that process should be expedited in terms of the shortlisting, so that we get get to interviews very, very quickly. We really want to start on a new slate. I'm new. They are interim. They will leave. The interim board will leave at some point, but I will still be left with ensuring that the SABC is what is expected by our people. A public broadcaster that discharges on its mandate with the necessary support both from government and also from parliament. On the other matters that Honorable Hlengwa speaks about, that almost everybody, they were told that almost all the people that were acting were going to stop acting the following day or something to that effect. I don't know what happened, but the issue of acting is quite an untenable one because, and continuous periods of acting, because it creates serious governance risks. It's just a risk in itself. And we are looking at ensuring that that is a thing that is eradicated in the SABC, and we get people who will take responsibility for their decisions, people that will account for their decisions and the implementation of the APPs, and people who will understand who it is that they're accountable to and how frequently they should account. So I was just answering on those issues.
All right. I think two things that I would want you to talk to before you leave. And I'll also come to the deputy chair before I go back to Comrades. There is an issue that I would like you as the political head to give your commitment and personal attention to. For 2 years or so now, pursuant to the report of the public protector, National Treasury has been requesting for documents from the SABC, and they have not been forthcoming because there is, from the SABC side, they say protocol requires that those documents must be sought from the Department of Communications. Letters were sent to that department, including a letter from the Minister of Finance, the Minister of Communication. Until today, those documents have not been sent. The National Treasury was supposed to submit to us their report in November last year. They couldn't. We postponed it to end of January this year. They haven't. Last week, Wednesday, when they appeared before us, we said, where is the report of the SABC, DNEL, Transnet, PRASA? They are all held back because the affected entities don't want to make documents available. And I see your DG is here. I would want to get commitments and a process. Two, I think it would be good for you to use this platform to assure workers in the SABC that they still have a job and a paying job. Those are the two things. Beyond that, I would want Deputy Chair, just for the information of comrades here, in relation to Mr. Aguma, we know that and why the chairperson of the board is not here. Mr. Aguma, in relation to the DC that is taking place there, because then that assists comrades to have better context of the person that we're talking about. Comrade Minister, on those two issues that I read.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Unfortunately, some of the things that had been asked of the department before I arrived have not been brought to my attention. Otherwise, I would have responded to them. The acting DG is sitting behind me. I do not have such information before me because I then would have responded.
No, all I need is a commitment that the obfuscation of the past will not persist. Documents will be made available.
Yes. I was going to tackle the issue as I was going to read my opening remarks, Chairperson. I'm glad that you raised it because it is seriously a problem. the problems that you will find in the SABC relate to human capital management and development. They relate to financial management. They relate to what would ultimately be seen as a contravention of the National Heritage Act with regards to archiving, and also a contravention to the minimum information security standard. So we seriously have a problem at the SABC. I've seen a copy of a skills audit from 2014, which paints a very bleak picture of skills capacity in the SABC. And where we try to bring the SABC to a situation where it can effectively discharge its mandate, as long as we do not deal with the skills issues there, we will still continue to have problems. As long as the SABC does not innovate, we will still get problems, because what that would mean is that it does not catch up with the rest of the world and the development in the industry quick enough. So it will always be overtaken by events if those things are not taken care of. And I must say that over the years, the SABC, and even recently, has been dogged with controversies and has often been subject to news rather than the producer of news. These events have ultimately led to the dissolution of quite a number of boards, and have been replaced by interim boards, that is in 2013 and recently this year in April 2017. Chairperson and members will recall that when the fourth administration took over in 2009 from the previous administration, the SABC's governance and financial health was in tatters even then. So it's a legacy, historical legacy problem. In fact, the SABC experienced corporate governance crisis even before the year 2006, and when there was an alleged political interference in the appointment of the board and the executives at the SABC. It is important to recall that in September 2009, after being instructed by Parliament's Portfolio Committee on Communications, the Auditor General identified a number of issues that impacted negatively on the SABC, and such were referred to the Special Investigating Unit, which completed its report in June 2012. I'm not sure whether the committee has had sight of such a report. A number of issues came up, and there were recommendations on how to address these by the SIU. The 9.6 million fruitless and wasteful expenditure, the 428.6 million irregular expenditure, financial misconduct in terms of Section 83.3 of the PFMA, as they willfully or negligently failed to exercise a duty assigned, 9 criminal investigations and prosecutions. The SIU identified financial misconduct by 22 individual board members that served on 3 separate SABC boards. The SABC has in the past paid for security at the houses of former employees and former board members, respectively. During these crises, for instance, in 2008-2009 financial year, the SABC lost 910 million and was forced to seek external funding in order to implement its legislative mandate. In a nutshell, these issues around corporate governance failures, incurring fruitless and wasteful expenditure, the inability to comply with the Companies Act, are not new issues to the SABC. These should never have recurred, because we know them, but they keep recurring year after year, board after board, executive after executive. Many hearings and appearances before SCOPA later, we still sit with the same problems. Chairperson, Section 2A of the Act empowers the SABC to contribute to a democracy, development of society, gender equality, nation building, provision of education, and strengthening the moral fiber of society. The broadcasting chapter in section 6 to 28 of the Act relates, amongst others, to the development of South African expression of providing in South Africa official languages a wide range of programming, as well as the SABC's license conditions. The SABC is further bound to meet its license conditions set for its individual radio stations and television channels as set out by the Independent Communications Authority of South Africa. To this end, the SABC is mandated to migrate from the analog broadcasting to digital in 2018, and this requires adequate funding. In one of the recent developments, on the 24th of November 2009, government announced the approval of government's bank guarantee for 1.473 billion, of which 1 billion was released to the SABC with tight conditions which were introduced alongside the guarantee. It is important to note that whilst the SABC subsequently paid back this amount, and I must say in record time, well before the contractual terms, the SABC only achieved 5 of the 22 government guarantee conditions. And my suspicion is that that was done so that they are not bound by these contractual obligations. And what I have said to the board is that those contractual obligations of even that amount of that guarantee are still applicable and they should be implemented. So the fact that the money was paid, in my view, all of those issues related to governance, so they still are applicable today. And Section 14 of the Broadcasting Act provides that the board, as the accounting authority of the corporation, is supported by the three executive directors and the executive committee of not more than 11 group executives. In this respect, the board accounts in terms of the PFMA, the Companies Act, and other applicable national treasury regulations. I'm raising these issues to emphasize that the interim board must understand that its scope of work is not just limited to the implementation of the ad hoc committee report and the public protector's report, but to ensure the following. The implementation of Section 51(1)(b)(2) of the PFMA, which requires that the board as accounting authority must take effective and appropriate steps to prevent fruitless, wasteful, and irregular expenditure. To comply with the PFMA and must understand the implication of non-compliance as the accounting authority in terms of Section 50, 51, and 55 of the PFMA. To this end, I've instructed that the interim board should not just focus on the last three financial years and should instead focus on all governance failures and in terms of the office of the board, and if the term of the office of the board ends, the full board will have to carry on with this work. I want to put it on record that I have not directed the SABC interim board to investigate Minister Mutambi or any other minister, because it is neither the mandate of the board nor is it the mandate of me as minister to do that. Honourable members, one of the issues we're dealing with this morning as part of the report is as a result of the lack of supporting documents in the procurement of goods and services, including statutory documents required when tenders are processed and adjudicated. And that's the issue you were asking about. We had a lengthy meeting, a lot of which time was spent talking about the unavailability of documents. When the deputy chair speaks, he will tell you how difficult it has been to get documents from the SABC. I even had to call other managers in the SABC to that meeting because I just needed to understand why it is so difficult to get documentation. Part of the reason is appointment of people to positions that when they leave, there is no handover. Sometimes when people leave, they leave with documents. Sometimes people don't even understand the value of managing and properly archiving documentation. The SABC has weak internal controls and does not have a proper document management system to enable them to store, retrieve, and safeguard information as required by law. In this regard, I've instructed the board to urgently engage with the Department of Arts and Culture, who are the custodians of the National Archive Act, to assist in the proper management and archiving of records. But I have also further directed the SABC board to abide by the minimum information security standards and to engage the state security agency, who are the custodians of that policy. Upon my appointment as part of my oversight responsibility and as government shareholder representative, I have assigned officials from the department to assist in dealing with financial problems affecting the SABC. And this is in recognition of the fact that at the office of the CFO, we still have problems with receiving documentation, with getting proper accounting for issues that we ask questions on between the board and myself. And we then decided, because even the board in itself lacks that skill, so we decided then to appoint people from the department that would be able to give that support to the board to ensure that all things finance related are taken care of. I have observed that the SABC has an extremely complex constitutional mandate. And to ease this complexity, which has to do with funding and line support from other ministries, I will engage other cabinet colleagues on industry growth and development matters in their various sectors. You will realize that with respect to the digital migration program, Minister Tswele has to work with me, or I have to work with Minister Tswele to ensure that it is effective. But digital migration comes with its own unintended problems of funding, on content development, broadband issues. So it is not just a communications ministry issue, but it also affects many of my colleagues in cabinet. The other day I had a meeting with an organization that represents actors, musicians, and all of that. And they were complaining about the SABC's policy on the 90% local content. And the board at some point will come back and report on where we are with regards to whether or not that has affected the bottom line or not, and provide scientific evidence to prove their case on issues. And they were under the impression that that policy had been halted. And I am not aware that that policy has been halted, because I do not have that information before me. But what I did say to them was that ensuring the life and growth of people in that sector can never be the burden of the SABC alone. And from the party that I come from, there is no 90% policy. The party that whose policies I am expected to implement, there is no 90% local content policy. There is a policy on local content, but not 90%. And I have no view whether 90% is right or wrong. And that is not the issue. But the issue is the burden of growing and developing and assisting people in the industry can never be the SABC's burden alone. The Department of Arts and Culture has a responsibility to assist. The Department of the Trade and Industry, because it is an industry on its own, the Department of Small Business, and many other departments should come to the table so that the burden on the SABC is eased and carried by government in its totality. So on content development and marketing, the Department of Trade and Industry, Arts and Culture, Small Business will be approached by the DOC and other departments, of course. On channel expansion, we will engage the Department of Sports and Recreation, Higher Education, and other role players. On the management of systems and effective control measures, they'll be strengthened to ensure appropriate interventions are applied and introduced where transgressions and contravention of policy and other weaknesses are identified. And we pledge, Chairperson, and commit to comply with the recommendations of SCOPA, the ad hoc committee, and any policy that exists and legislation in an attempt to address the inadequate internal controls within the SABC and address historical legacy weaknesses in the SABC. Thank you very much.
All right. Okay. No, thanks, Comrade Minister. Except that the other question about your employees was not spoken to. If it can be responded to, that's fine, but it was a question nonetheless.
I had spoken about the skills audit that was done, and I think the skills audit at that time did not take into account the digital migration.
I was being diplomatic. My question was, are you able to pay your employees at the end of the month?
Chairperson,
because we've been seeing all these stories in the media about this and that.
I think the board has to respond to that. But what I will say to you is that on the funding model of the SABC, we are in continuous discussion with the National Treasury, and on Thursday we have another meeting with the National Treasury on that. But I will leave that to the Deputy Chairperson to respond to.
That's fine.
Thank you.
Can you, in just 2 minutes, just talk to the issues I spoke to, then we'll then take the matters up in the committee. Yes.
Thanks, Chair. In the matter of the staff and payments, we are in difficult financial crisis. I think it's just important that everybody just internalizes that aspect. And in the formula of payments, we're using what people call the principle of a waterfall. And it depends on where you are in that waterfall, whether you're going to be paid or not. So on top of that waterfall, it's our staff. And we make a commitment here, we've made this commitment in the previous month, that no matter what happens, our staff will be paid. We are in continuous discussions with a whole lot of other service providers where we limp from one day to another, from one negotiation to another, in trying to ensure that content is supplied by people we haven't even paid. To that extent, this board took a decision that its own board payments will be suspended in total until such time that the financial situation of the SABC has been regularized. That's how seriously we're looking at this thing. So the short answer is they will be paid.
Okay.
Yes. You then asked me about the absence of the chair and Mr. Aguma and his role with the DC. Today, there's a disciplinary hearing for one of our employees who called a press conference and said things about this institution that no employee, whether actively involved in the work or suspended, should say about this institution. We have instituted a disciplinary hearing against him for that.
Him who?
His name is Claudio Mutsene, and that disciplinary hearing is taking place today. The chair is a witness in the case, and that is why she's not here today. As the minister said, Mr. Aguma has not been at work at the very least since Monday. And we have now been told that he will not be around until Monday next week. Meanwhile, yesterday, as part of this DC hearing, and I'm saying all this because you've asked me to address that, as part of this disciplinary hearing, we got correspondence from Mr. Mutsweneng's attorneys, which included an affidavit deposed to by Mr. Aguma, in which he alleges that he gave Mr. Mutsweneng the permission to hold the press conference, and also that there was no board decision to charge Mr. Mutsweneng in this particular instance. That is not something that we were aware of, that an affidavit has even been deposed. So when you say to me, where is he? I sit here and wonder, as you do. Okay. Does that take care of your question?
No. He has deposed that affidavit and said what he has said, and yet, what are the facts?
This board, when it took the decision to institute the hearing, convened a meeting of the board where Mr. Aguma was present, and we discussed the issue about what to do with this matter, and we resolved formally that we would appoint an external lawyer, and this is what is going to happen, and we went around the room to find out from each board member what their own personal feelings are about the decision that we were taking. The answers of every board member who was present are recorded, and Mr. Aguma's own responses at that board meeting are also in that resolution.
Thank you. So I'm trying to give context that when we say Aguma must come here, Aguma this, Aguma that, it might be that Akusena Muntu. All right. Thanks very much, Comrade Minister. I'm not sure if the issues we want to raise that require the minister, or we should let her leave. You need her to hear what you... Okay, so just hold on a bit, Comrade Minister. We have not yet... We're just warming up to the actual hearing, mind you. This is not the actual hearing. Comrade Keka.
Thanks, Chair. Let me also congratulate the minister. The minister indicated that there's somebody new or there's somebody acting that is in the position. But unfortunately, I'm not exactly sure whether that person is also part and parcel of the meeting here today, because I think it would have been correct to have that person that is in the meeting.
Which person?
No, the acting...
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
The other issue that she raised is the issue of the filling of the vacancies, particularly at an executive level. My question is, does she have a plan? Because we went to the SAPC where... What we discovered at the SABC was that everybody was acting. And she is correct by saying you need to fill in that is those positions. But my question is, do you have a plan? And if you do have a plan, would you then take us in confidence as to what are the timelines in terms of that plan? Thanks.
without responding, couldn't that be responded to by the board? I'm saying, don't you think that could be responded to by the board? The last question on the filling of vacancies.
No, it's fine if the board is going to deal with it.
Yeah.
Actually, I was taking advantage that she raised it in her speech.
Right. Okay. No, it's fine. I think the board should be able to respond to that because that's their responsibility. Comrade Chiluan.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and congratulations, Honorable Minister, on your deployment. Chair, I just want to ask, I think it's one question related on Mr. Agum, on what the Minister said in terms of the appointment of the new person. But I know before Mr. Aguma was the acting GCO, he was the CFO of the SABC. And now, she's acting CFO. And so many issues in terms of your internal controls, in terms of your public funds, how SABC manage their funds. They happen under the watch of Mr. Aguma. So I just wanted to check, is he going to go back to his position as a CFO, or is she going to act? I don't know. I just wanted to get the status thereof, and then some other questions maybe might follow. If you can get the status of Aguma. Because, Chairperson, I think that is what that is why so many members have been raising the issue of Mr. Aguma not being here, not as the acting GCO, but as the CFO. I think the gist of the matter, the concern is that there are so many things that we've even read about them in the papers and that they happen under his watch.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that I just wanted to clarify that one, Chairperson.
Can't that also be responded to by the board?
Yeah.
Because it's the board that is now appointed and acting.
It's
so
okay.
They must then have decided what should happen to him.
It's fine, then, Chairperson.
Sure. Comrade Kuno, I'm not jumping you.
Chairperson, I think I had the same concern.
Question.
So I think maybe we can release the minute.
No, let me get from other comrades. Comrade Vincent?
No, Chair, as per your direction, but I think arising from the Minister's input and also, I suppose, with respect, empower the Minister with respect. In your input, Minister, you said that, and this is the business that we're dealing with today, which is irregular, fruitless, and wasteful expenditure, and you said part of the cause is because the administration don't understand the importance of document management as part of it. Now, so that they don't ever use this excuse when they justify their actions, Minister, Section 40 of the PFMA, Section 40 of the Public Finance Management Act reads, the accounting officer of the department, trading entity, or constitutional institution must keep full and proper records of the financial affairs of the department, trading entity, or constitutional institution in accordance with any prescribed norms and standards. The point I'm making, Minister, is if anybody came to you and said to you that the lack of supporting documents is because they don't understand, that is not true. That is not true. It can't be justified because it's very clear, the PFMA, so that they must never use that excuse to you, Minister, because I appreciate that you're not an expert in this field and we are. I think we must call a spade, Minister. You know and I know that the lack of record keeping or the destruction of records is to destroy incriminating evidence. Let's just call a spade a spade. It's not because you don't understand. It's not because of any other matter other than to destroy incriminating evidence. And when we move from that premise, Chair, we are then able to fix the problems in this institution. So I thought, and Minister doesn't have to answer it, because I will raise it again with the accounting authority, but I just thought, Minister, so that tomorrow when they come and account to you, you should be able to pose these questions. It can't be that they don't understand. But you know, I know, and they know that the destruction is purely malicious and it's to obfuscate evidence that will incriminate them. Thank you, Chair.
All right. Lengwa?
Chair, I know that you have deferred this question that I wanted to ask, which Honorable Chilwane has spoken about the status of Mr. Akuma, but I deliberately believe that I think the minister also needs to be here just before she leaves. I'll tell you why. I get a sense that this acting GCEO, the minister was advised of that kind of sort of now, you know. And I just believe that the gravity of the situation is that to inform the minister now, and she is figuring out even the name, for me that spells the problem. That's why I asked in the first instance, can we be clarified in totality? Who's who in the zoo? Because if Mr. Akuma is the CFO in the first instance, if he is no longer the acting GCEO, the assumption is he then goes back to his position as the CFO. But right now we are seated with an acting CFO here. So that's why I think this is top management, and I think that clarity is needed before the minister leaves. But here's the why I was itching to speak before the minister leaves. Well, Minister, I want to hear and now. The chair was very euphemistic about our observations when we left the SAPC. I will be very blunt. There is a mafia operating in the SAPC, and you're going to need to be very firm in terms of how you root it out working with the board. Because what is even emanating here and now about the role of Mr. Akuma in this DC is precisely the reason why he's not here. He's not sick. When we were at the SAPC, he was in an operation in the morning and joined us in the afternoon. And all sorts of trickery was played out at that meeting, trying to confuse us at that meeting. There's an organized syndicate, and Honorable Smith is speaking about hiding evidence. That's what is happening. SAPC has become a rogue entity. And I think the frustration on our side emanates from that. We are dealing with a situation where accountability is absent. And for so long as Mr. Akuma is there, this syndicated mafia is going to thrive. That's what I wanted to say. Chair, I honestly believe the board must institute an inquiry into the operations of Mr. Akuma and the SAPC if we are to seriously deal with them. That's why we wanted him here. Because in our own research and in our own thing, he's a consistent factor. He's the common denominator in the rot which is in the SAPC.
All right. No, it's fine. I thought you were saying Akuma must fall, but you're saying you want him here. All right, that's fine. Tim?
Chair, thank you. I'm glad the Minister is still here. Minister, welcome, and it's good to have a fresh spirit, hopefully with your new board to tactics further. The issue I want to raise specifically, my colleague Honourable Hlengwa has spoken to the status, and it appears that there are so many actors at the SABC, one doesn't know what's going on. But the reality is, right now, this board, today, and I would like to get a response on this, needs to suspend James Akuma. James Akuma has deposed an affidavit that he authorized the press conference, but to make matters worse, and this is the real issue, is in the communications committee meeting last week, Akuma told the committee that he did not authorize the conference. Therefore, he lied to Parliament. That is a criminal action. So, Minister, I'm glad you're here because I'd like you to bring the political will to bear here and support your board when they hopefully do the right thing and suspend James Aguma today. Whether he's sick or not does not really matter. But the man must be suspended from his duties pending a disciplinary inquiry on this specific issue. You have more than enough evidence on Hansard, on video, and you have a deposition that supports the entire matter. Aguma must fall, unfortunately. Okay, hashtag, there we go, thank you. All right, but it's got to happen. And then because Mr. Aguma did not have the courage to be here today, and you must remember in Schofield, we've seen these movies before. We had another department here yesterday, and when we had a previous engagement with them, suddenly people also got sick. We've seen this movie before. And it's just ironic that you guys are the SABC. So we've seen this movie before. He must be suspended. He didn't have the courage to appear here, so he must appear in front of a disciplinary inquiry. And frankly, given his actions last week, he may even have to appear in a court. And I really urge you, Minister, to give the political will to make sure that happens and the board makes that decision. Make that clear starting point to show that you are serious about sorting out the SABC. Thank you.
All right. Ross, Kunoa, and then...
Thank you, Chairperson. Minister, thank you for your presentation. And indeed, it is it's a fresh breeze and it's more inspiring than I... expected, and thank you very much for that. But just to inform you, Minister, that on the 28th of March, we did visit the SABC premises. On that day, my question to Mr. Aguma was also about the financial crisis and also what happened in the media with regards to the non-payment of staff. And there was a complete denial in terms of a financial crisis. It's good to hear that there's an admittance today that there's a serious financial crisis, as the Deputy Chairperson of the Board has indicated. And then, Minister, you also alluded to your funding models, and if I can just make a remark with regards to that. We note that there's a $411 million the loss on a yearly basis, so it is a serious problem in terms of funding and how you're going to turn this boat around, noting the alleged criminality in the SABC. Now, my question to you is, in your endeavours with Treasury, have you asked them in terms of guarantees or loans to sustain the business, perhaps to pay the staff, and what is the current status in terms of guarantees or loans to your organisation as it is today?
All right. Comrade Kuno.
Yes. Thank you, Chairperson. I was not going to talk, but I think what Honourable Slanga said earlier on actually made me want to say something. And I think that with the minister, we are going to get somewhere. SABC, I agree with her, that is in crisis. And I think we need people with your guts to make sure that the problems that are there in the SABC are dealt with. And I hope that we will be assisted this time as far as that is concerned. And it's good to hear a minister not being defensive, but actually saying, yes, there is a problem, we are in a crisis, and let's try to find a solution together, because at the end of the day, we're all South Africans. But part of the problem is that why I'm supporting the fact of the falling part, the hashtag. Hashtag must fall. But before he falls, he must come to Parliament, because the problem, Chairperson, is that Mr. Aguma will leave SABC and go to another entity and be a rotten potato there, because it's already, I mean, everything that he does, I think whatever he touches turns to black, whatever that means. But I think that before he leaves, before he goes, he must come and account to all the problems that he has made. We heard when we were in SABC, Chairperson, that even a lot of employees of SABC were not vetted. So there are lots of criminals in the SABC, and I think, I'm not sure if it was you, there was a gentleman who agreed to that they never made any check the criminal records of the employees of the SABC. The TV licenses are doubled. And with the problem of unemployment in South Africa, it affects people down there. I'm saying this, Chairperson, because the minister is here. It's a political issue.
when the poorest of the poor are being affected by the TV licenses. And the other thing, Chairperson, if you have a DSTV and you have not paid, you can't even access SABC 1, 2, and 3 and 4. And ordinary people, I mean, imagine if they have to pay that, you know, they're paying double fees. So I'm just saying that it's some of the things that minister has to look into politically.
Okay. All right. Good point.
Good morning, Chairperson.
Aduma Afei.
Yes. I just have to caution you again, Chairperson, that the minister must not be abused. She was just supposed to have given a little bit of 1 or 2 minute open remarks, and we deal with the officials and we stick to that. That's what the PFMA expects of us. And I would then want to encourage you that even in future, don't invite her and take an extensive interview with her on behalf of the officials, because it's very much important that we become and remain consistent in how we approach the executive versus parliament. But because of the disappearance of Mr. Aguma, I also had to accept it that we all were enthusiastic when we hear that he's coming and he has disappeared now. So the minister had to play this particular role. But also, we have to stick to get the board to answer some questions, because the board has really promised us that they will be so up to speed into making sure that things beginning happening. So we should release the minister, she has asked, and we get down to dealing with the board and the people that are supposed to account. But minister, we should really thank you from where we are seated for being able to speak to members of parliament in Scopa. We usually really don't entertain much of what the executive gets us to understand. We're interested in the board and the officials. For them, it's their responsibility to give account of the things that we want to get answers to. And we've got quite a long list to be able to attend to the board. We really want to thank you for the minute and out of yourself being patiently listening and being able to explain to the members of the committee what is going on. We really thank the spirit of how you have presented yourself here, but the rules doesn't allow us to hold you for a very long time here.
All right. Let me hand over to you if there are issues that were raised that you would like to respond to. But I'm sure quite a number of the issues that were raised, the engagement that we're supposed to have now is supposed to be actually dealing with those matters. Yes, Comrade.
Thank you very much, Chairperson and honorable members. When I was talking about the need to take people through all legislation that speaks to the proper keeping of records, the management of records, how our records are archived, was not to mitigate for the weaknesses that exist or the criminality that permeates in the system. I was merely articulating on the basis of what I have also found in the SABC as a weakness of internal controls that deals with the management of documentation. I do not want to move from the premise that documents disappear because people are inherently criminal in their activity. When I asked for other people, other managers to be called at a lower level on the exact same issue, what I discovered was that there really is a problem other than that of criminal activity in the safekeeping of documents and record keeping. So I did not move from a point of suspicion, but I just wanted to deal with matters as they presented themselves to me, not on what anybody had said, what I had observed. Because that people could have stolen documents is something that I will not say is true or not, because I have no evidence to that effect. But what I do know is that documents do disappear. And whether they've disappeared because of not understanding, but lack of appreciation of what enjoins people in law in the keeping of records, documents, and the archiving of such. So it was not in mitigation for any weaknesses or acts of criminality, Honorable Smith. I fully concur, and if I were to act on rumor, it's rumor that I have also heard, even on after 2 days that I was appointed, that that which you talk of actually does happen. But at other levels, it is really because there are problems of non-appreciation of the fact that records are to be kept in a particular way. And again, if you look at the Labor Relations Act, the Labor Relations Act enjoins you to assist staff to understand their role in organization and whatever obligation is placed on them, on their appointments. But I do understand where you're coming from, because you have dealt with these issues. On the acting CFO, Honorable Hlengwa, you are correct that if she's sitting here today as the acting CFO, it is illegal. Or maybe it is irregular that she sits here as the acting CFO if there is an acting CEO that has been appointed. If the acting CEO is appointed, what should have happened was that it should have been brought to my attention, and I should have, it should have been sent to me for concurrence for the acting CEO. The board would have brought that to me for concurrence. Maybe it's a glitch in the system, but you are correct. That's what should have happened. I should have gotten a formal letter so that I concur with or do not concur with the appointment of whoever would have been appointed as acting CEO. And you are correct. Then Aguma should have assumed his position as CFO immediately when that would have happened. But I'm told that it's for a week. But I must emphasize that when I started to speak on these matters, I did say that in one of my first meetings with the board, I emphasized the fact that we need to get a caretaker CEO, even if it's someone seconded from a department, from the Treasury, from one of the SOEs, but we needed to get an acting or caretaker person from outside. And unfortunately, we did not get to that, because I did lament the fact that everybody there is acting. And for you to stabilize an entity, the first thing that you need to do is to regularize your posts and regularize appointments. And I was hoping that by now we would have had all of the people that are acting back to their original positions, so that where there are vacancies, we fill them timelessly. But I must emphasize that I had requested that we get a caretaker CEO, because for me it was untenable. The issues that you raised, Honorable the things that you raised are very true. That if you had an ad hoc committee sitting to look at all the problems of the SAPC, Honorable Smith, as you led that process, in my personal view, as a former head of department, and I'll take off the head of minister, that in itself is irregular. Where you find that under Ayanda's watch, there were problems of weakness of internal controls and certain unsavory things introduced in the system, Ayanda does not have
the competence or the integrity to act as the head of an organization. So that was wrong from the onset. That's why when I spoke to the board, I was very clear to say, please get a caretaker until such time that you, a caretaker CEO, until such time that you've appointed someone permanent. On the treasury issues, initially we had written a letter, which we subsequently withdrew, requesting a guarantee from the treasurer. The minister then called us and said, that's not where we should be starting. What the treasury would be interested in is to ensure that systems are properly in place before any decision could be taken, that we would have determined where the weaknesses are, where we can cut down on expenditure, where we could sell if we have to sell assets that are non-core to the SABC. So in essence, he was saying to me, bring me a more tangible, evidence-based document that will help me to help you. And he didn't want to commit himself to a bailout or a guarantee before any of that was done. But he also said to me that it might not even be necessary for the Treasury to intervene in the form of any of the two, whether a guarantee or a bailout. But it might just be necessary that we talk to the banks to extend the revolving facility. Now, we are still in the process of finalizing all of that. A funding request has been sent to me by the SABC. And again, Chairperson, what I had raised initially when I was talking was that it's important for the board and myself to understand that their work goes beyond just the ad hoc committee recommendations and their implementation. Because we still have the issue of moving from analog to digital. And what was presented to me does not take account of that fact that we are moving from analog to digital. And therefore, the funding request does not cover all of those things that are related to the migration from analog to digital. So to me, it was a funding request that was inadequate. It was almost like putting elastoplast on a wound and not actually treating the wound. And I'm looking at treating the problem that we're experiencing in the SABC. They have done their work. They've done the best that they could. But I must say the best was not good enough because there were issues that it did not cover. I could have presented that funding request to the Treasury. And next week I would have had to go back again and request for further funding, especially for the public service mandate of the SABC. So I decided to hold back on that and ask them to do more work. The board and the team from the department are looking at determining on the assets register, which is in itself, by the way, also a problem. Honourable Smith. But looking at what we can find in the assets register, on what we can dispose of that is not core to our business, and many other areas where we could cut costs or shift or postpone large procurement. So there's a lot of work that the board and the team are still working on to ensure that we come up with a document that is a little more convincing for the Treasury to assist us. I'm not sure if... I know that the board will concur with me. In our first meeting with the SABC executive, the issue of the extent of the dire financial situation in the SABC was not brought to us voluntarily. We had to dig for information before
the word came that we actually are in a serious financial situation to a point where we might not be able to pay salaries. It was never brought to me, at least, voluntarily. And I can safely say even to the board, it was never brought voluntarily. So I don't know whether it's fear or it's deceit. I really don't know what it is. But it's just that thing where the SABC always wants to withhold information. And I think because the management team is here, people must understand that we're not here to catch anybody out. In fact, we are here to try and resolve issues at the SABC. If anybody is caught out, that's a byproduct of the work that we would have done. But the primary objective is not to catch anybody out. The primary objective is to ensure that the SABC is sustainable and it delivers on its mandate in a cost-effective manner and in an efficient way. So that's my response to the issues that that have been raised, Chairperson.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Tim, what was the question you asked?
There was no comment on the suspension of Mr. Guma.
Oh, okay.
The Minister's thoughts on that.
No, that's fine.
As I had said, Honourable Member, earlier on, I'm not going to call for the suspension of any staff member in a public forum. What I will do is to take to heart what you have said and to take to heart your statement in support of your call for a suspension. And the board will act in the correct fashion. And also, you need to take to heart the statements that I have made about internal weaknesses and internal controls, the withholding of information in the SABC, and be assured that I will do the right thing to support the board in its work. Thank you very much.
Right. Thanks, comrades. I think maybe that is the first concrete position of the committee around Mr. Aguma. Technology is good. Even if it's in Kampala, we can call or send emails to say come back. Right, thank you, comrade minister. Comrades, what we're going to do? Comrade Vincent. No, I'm greeting you. I'm trying to check if we can have an arrangement. Either we allow the board to talk to us, and then we engage them thereafter. Because we need, in my view, we need to get a sense of how are they grappling with these issues. Because in as much as Aguma or whoever might not be there, but we need to engage with these issues. You know, chip away. You know, like they say in my area, when you eat an elephant, it's one piece at a time. So even these issues here, we're going to deal with them, but dialectically enhancing the forward movement processes. So I would suggest, comrades, that maybe let's allow the board to talk to us, and then we can then engage. I'm sure we all have all these mountains of documents with us. And I was talking to you because I think there was something specific we said you need to look at. Yes, comrade Vincent.
No, I agree, Chair, that the presentation and the board should lead us.
Okay.
The only qualification in terms of your suggestion, Chair, is that we don't open it up to everything, because I thought today we're dealing with irregular, fruitless, and financial management. If they're going to lead us, as I see the presentation on the overhead, then I have no problem. Indeed, they should lead us, and then we should ask for clarity and deal with it, and not be tempted to talk on all the other matters, because there are a whole host of other matters that indeed we could take advantage of because of their presence. I'm saying there's going to have to be a fine balance between the two. That's all. But I agree. Let them lead us.
All right. Comrade, I mean, unless we don't agree, if we agree, can we move on?
No.
Comrade Kekane's hand was up first, then Chilwane, then yourself, and Comrade Kekane.
No, Chair, I also agree that is with that approach, and only re-emphasize the fact that there are questions that we asked, and you said that they will deal with those questions, if they can also include those questions.
Correct. Comrade Chilwane.
The person it was for the same thing.
Okay.
Yeah, for the questions that you asked.
No problem.
Maybe if you can start with them, Chairperson. The status of argument, if you can join me.
Okay. Tim?
Chair, I agree with what my colleagues are saying. I just don't want to be limited in terms of scope, because I do have three or four questions that might not fall into the documents, but they'll be very quickly handled. But they are very, very salient to our inquiry.
Yeah, no.
But they're not going off into the distance. No,
that's fine. I think all is saying not in terms of their content, but in terms of our focus. If it's all about financial management,
it's all about financial
issues.
Financial issues, it's not policy.
No, it's fine.
Thanks.
What? Do you have your hand up? I'm not tempting you to talk.
No. I was going through the invite. The notification of the meeting that we are supposed to in fact be receiving a briefing, not a hearing, because there are outstanding matters which we had raised previously when we were here and with the SAPC. Maybe if we can first complete that, I'm in agreement with you that in fact I don't see why you put the question, but thank you for being democratic.
Socialist democracy, always engage the masses of the committee. All right. No, that's fine. Deputy Chair, let's start with the issues that the comrades had raised. This little confusion that should not have happened about enacting GCEO and my sister here as the acting CFO, and yet Aguma is no longer the acting GCEO. What?
Okay. Thank you, Chair. On Monday, when we met with the minister in preparation of this meeting, Mr. Aguma was not there. We were told at the meeting that he had gone to consult a doctor. By yesterday, we got information that he has actually been put off for the whole week, which meant that he was not going to be here today, amongst other things. So the chair then dropped everything and went to the SABC, constituted the rest of the executive team, and tried to find out if there were urgent things that needed to be approved by the group CEO in the interim, given that this guy was not going to be there for a whole week. Then she consulted the delegation of authority framework. And in terms of clause G4 of that framework, if an executive is going to be away on sick leave for an extended period, the chairperson of the board is authorized to appoint an acting person in that space for the duration of the absence. In that respect, this is different from appointing an acting person on a kind of permanent basis. This is about the guy's not there for a week, for 3 days, but things may need to be signed. So this is how Tsidiso came into the picture yesterday at between 4 and 5 p.m. as a stand-in for the week. So James is still the acting in terms of the framework and the authority that was delegated to him the same day that this committee was at the SABC. Because if you remember, we were at the tail end of the delegation of authority for this team. immediately after we spoke to you, we were kicked out of the SABC by the former minister, who said because we had not been vetted, we had no business to be there. And as soon as we were kicked out, the executive team that was acting had their acting authority extended for another 3 months. So that acting power is still in place. I hope it makes sense.
No, it does.
Yeah.
Are we fine now, comrades?
No, Tidiso is not here because really he was appointed at about 5 o'clock yesterday. I was in the plane by that time. If we were going to get him here, he would have had to have flown this morning, be here by 9.
All right, okay.
What would he say anyway?
No, that's fine. I think the point is made. We understand that it is not appointing an acting person in a quote-unquote permanent. I think that was the little confusion.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I think it's now cleared. Can we then proceed?
Then there was the issue about the filling of vacancies.
Okay.
The ads are out. They were in the papers on Sunday. The ad is also out in internally. We've advertised for the group CEO, for the COO, head of radio, and it's got a complicated name and surname. It's executive audit chief. Yeah, chief audit executive. Yeah. So those are the four positions that were advertised on Sunday. There was the issue about the suspension that James needs to be suspended. I think, through you, Chair, the committee should allow the board to act legally always. It would be amiss of us as the board members sitting here to start pronouncing about
I don't think that was the expectation.
Things like that.
No, that was not the expectation, Deputy Chair.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because part of the problem that puts us where we are here today is because decisions of that nature were taken arbitrarily.
No, I think
I just wanted to make it quite clear what people were just dismissed on the spot, SABC incurs huge costs.
I understand
jumping from 4 million to 60 million a year.
It's okay. I understand that. I'm just saying that's not the attribute.
But on a point of order, Chair.
Let me finish.
On a point of order, Chairperson.
Yeah, let me finish.
No, Chairperson.
Point of order.
If I ask for a point of order, you must give me. What's wrong with you now? No, Chairperson.
What is the point of order?
Yeah, just be patient. Why are you emotional now? Just be patient. We're running a committee here.
No, it's fine.
Just let me hear you.
Hear my point.
I'm saying to you, both of you, Chairperson, when he is talking and you are talking, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make the committee to have a good standing. If you are saying as the chairperson of this committee you want to talk, he must be patient to wait for you. And we can't conduct the meeting between you on the basis of friendliness. It must be run in a very professional way. If you are talking, he must give you a chance. If he's talking, he must give you a chance. This committee is about us. It's not about the two of you.
All right. Okay. No, that's fine. I'm chairing. If he's talking and I feel he's going out of the line, I must stop him. Exactly.
because the point he's making, correct as it is, cannot and should not be linked to us, because we're not asking the board to act illegal. So the explanation and the contextualization bore no relevance to what we had said before. So I just didn't want that point to be labored on as if we were expecting the board to act illegally. Let's not go on and on as if we have done anything wrong or expect
them to. I have a point of clarity. Yes. All I was asking in that question is that the board takes it on board, that they will consider the evidence that I referred to. The minister has taken it on board. She said she would give it great due consideration. I would like the board to do the same thing, to consider the evidence that I referred to and not to delay in their consideration of the matter and make a decision urgently in the interest of the
safety.
That's all I ask for. Just a consideration.
I think we have agreed that we have closed the issue, because what we are hearing now is contrary to what you said. Please, let's close the issue. Right. There was an explanation earlier on. We accept the explanation. We are saying the board must deal with this issue. Let's close it there.
All right. No, that's fine. All right. Deputy Chair, can we proceed?
Get to the meeting today.
Yeah.
Yeah. thank you for calling us. The invitation was specific about a particular contract, and we have prepared a presentation that revolves around that particular contract. We've also brought with us sufficient executives who will be able to assist the committee with answers around these matters. Because there is also a context of how things have been happening. So I will not, I've already explained why the chair is not here. As the board, we are confronted by an institution that is really limping. There's an atmosphere of fear generated by rule by decree. Things were just dictated. And so even now when you are a new board and you're trying to do certain things, you find that people don't really believe that that is the new way to do things, because it has not always been like that. So there's a need to reverse all of those things. Because they permeate even into the financial sphere, the editorial sphere, and all sorts of things. As the minister has already indicated, we have submitted a funding application. We are taking, as the board, a thorough look at a number of contracts, including the one that the committee has called us to discuss today. We've called in the SIU to do a forensic investigation into a number of areas. Some other areas are going to be done by internal audit within the SABC. As I said, we're searching for new leadership. And we're looking at ways of rolling back detrimental consequences of decisions that have been taken before. This would include even things like 90-10 and 80-20 on television, where radio has lost 29 million, TV has lost 183 million. We've spent 72 million additionally in sourcing new local content to displace the content that we could no longer use because we were enforcing the 90-10, which 90-10 is not really a policy because it was never debated at any board meeting. It was just a directive that from now this is how you're going to do it. And it's a good policy in that it promotes South African products.
but its implementation has to take cognizance of the fact that it must not threaten the existence of the institution itself, which is what it is doing. So the detrimental impact will be dealt with. It doesn't mean that there is a rejection of being pro ourselves. So Mr. Krish Naidu chairs the audit committee. John Matheson is also in that committee. So I'll now hand over to Krish to talk to the committee about the kind of work that the audit committee has been doing, and in particular around this this thing. And then when Krish finishes, he'll hand over to the acting CFO, Audrey, who will take you through the actual presentation around the Sekela Gabiso contract. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. Yeah.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just to start by saying that if you look at the invitation that you sent us...
And would really want the presentation not to... So let's be focused, because I think the gist of our engagement will arise from the questions that will come from members.
So shall we go to the presentation?
No, I'm just saying, let's be focused, let's be brief.
Yeah. Now, I was referring to the presentation just to say in my opening remark that you're going to be very disappointed with the presentation, because I think when you visited the SABC on the 28th of March, you had a different expectation. If I recall, the service provider was present in that meeting, and they gave you certain undertakings that there would be, by the end of the term of the contract, they would be able to identify wrongdoers. There would be some steps towards consequences, such as recovery of funds, etc. And I think you left with that impression, and that's why your invitation says, give us more details about this particular contract and also tell us what steps have been taken. Now, when I looked at the scope of work given to that service provider, there was no such intention in that direction. There was no mandate given to them to recover any money. Their job was purely to classify and identify irregular, fruitless, and wasteful expenditure, and that's exactly what they've done. So this presentation will tell you what they've done. But what we've said to management in our interaction in preparation for this meeting is, once the Auditor General finishes its task by the 31st of July, so in early August, we expect those consequences to kick in as expected by the committee. The second thing we've done as an Audit Committee Chair is that we've stressed the whole issue of consequent management very, very strongly. And one of the weaknesses of the SABC has been, if you look at the 5 billion rand of irregular, fruitless, and wasteful expenditure that's been accumulated over 5 years, that's the first signal or indication that there'll be no consequences. That's the first point. So what we mean by consequence management, at our very first meeting of the Audit Committee this year and under the interim board, we made sure that executives that report to us are prepared to take personal responsibility for their reporting. For example, if we said to the SCM head that if you come to us and say there was no irregular transaction in the month, we have a monthly meeting, then if it transpires subsequently that there was some consequences or irregular conduct in your department, you accept personal responsibility in terms of the PFMA. The second thing we want to stress, and that's something that came from one of the members, is that you get the executives moving from entity to entity without consequences. You know, we must now enforce the new provisions of the Companies Act to declare directors delinquent directors. You get executive directors on boards of SOEs. They must be declared delinquent directors so that in future they cannot hold a position anywhere else in the public sector. And that's one way of cleaning up the entities. In our presentation, Chair, we've given you some indication of the contract between SABC and this company called Sekela Gabiso. We've got some detail in here, the scope of their work. We've also got a report on what they've done so far. We've also alluded to the kinds of challenges they've had. And in preparation for this, as board members, what we've said to management, there are certain critical questions that they can have to answer. We can't answer for them. and that is why in the first place did we move from in-house management of this task to a consultant? I mean, that's a critical question to ask. Why did you engage a consultant in the first place? Is it because of insufficient capacity in-house or for any other reason? So that's the first question. The second question is that if this consultant has been going for, I think, more than 2 years now at a cost of 25 million rand, that is, it only come to our attention as audit committee on Friday last week. We were told all along that there was one contract worth about 9 million rand, but on Friday when we took stock, we were told that there were three different contracts given to Sakela Kabiso in consequence, going back to 2015, and it added up to 25 billion rand. So these are concerns that I think management and the people that are here must answer. So thank you, Chair. With those few introductory words, I'll hand over to Audrey, who will take us through the presentation. Thank you.
All right, Acting CFO.
Thank you very much, and honorable members. I'm a bit challenged where to start because Mr. Naidu has done most of my presentation.
No. Start from the beginning and give details. You are summarizing.
Okay. The request that SABC received from COPPA was the detailed information regarding Sakela Kabiso contract. We've circulated the three contracts that the board spoke about. And the second request was the status update of the report up to date, including the recovery so far. The contract that we have with Sakela Kabiso, the scope was to assist SABC to detect irregular fruitless wasteful expenditure from 2011 financial years, assist with the preparation of an accurate and complete register, assist with the preparation of the notes into the financial statement, provide the support during the AG audit process, and assist in identifying procedures and processes that need to be implemented to make sure that we have preventative measures in place. Mr. Naidu has already explained the misunderstanding that the committee had when they came to SABC in terms of what the scope of the contract was all about. So the background of this exercise and irregular fruitless expenditure comes from the external audit opinion, which from financial year 11 and 12 was issued. In 11 and 12, the qualification was about poor documentation. 12, 13, again, it was poor documentation. 13, 14, the opinion was poor documentation and misstatement of the note. 14, 15, it was the understatement and also poor documentation. 15, 16, we're back to this misstatement and poor documentation. So in SABC trying to resolve the qualification, initially in 12-13, the work was done internally and it was not considered. In 13-14, the work was continued to be done internally. Again, it was not considered. It is then in 14-15 that Sakela Kabiso was appointed for a period of 3 months, and again because of poor documentation, the note was not completed. In 15-16, Sakela Kabiso was again engaged to continue with the work that started in 14-15. By the time the audit report was issued, the amount of 5.1 billion was disclosed. Again, it was not completed. And in 2016-17, another contract was issued so that the 5.1 billion can be confirmed as irregular. And it is the work that is continuing up to date. Why Sekela Tlhabiso was appointed is because there was lack of sufficient resources to take to undertake the engagement. And because of the documents were not centralized, there was a problem in putting the documents together, because once the note has been disclosed, we need information to support that information. But because SABC in the past, every division was doing its own supply chain management or procurement, the documents were sitting all over the show, and to be able to put everything together became a challenge. The retrieval of those documents became impractical. The method that the Sekela Tlhabiso used, they went from the payment documents to the procurement documents. The payment documents could be found, but the procurement documents are still a challenge up to this stage. And as we go into the presentation, we will show you how much of those are still a challenge. The balance between daily operational duties and and the detection of fruitless and wasteful expenditure detection was also an issue. SIBC had lacks of skills and expertise to detect irregular fruitless and wasteful expenditure, and up to this stage we still have that problem. And it's for those reasons that Sigela was asked to come and assist the SIBC. And the value of those contracts for 3 years is 25 million, as reported earlier. So the approach that they are following to be able to make sure that by the time we report at the end of May was to be assisted by supply chain management to centralize all documents that are required to substantiate the note, to assess compliance with supply chain management policies, including treasury guidelines, the triple PFA, to test compliance of procurement processes according to what the SABC said has happened, to look at alternative identification of electronic document, to cross-link all payments and expenditure to the FAS that have been tested, and to prepare the notes for the financial statements. We've already spoke about the challenges that have been faced in terms of finalizing the exercise by the Sekela Tlhabiso. Now, what has happened, Chair, we have looked at the note in two ways. There's note that relates to content, meaning the procurement of television programs and the normal supply chain programs. And for the last financial year, up to this stage, this is how much has been identified. For 2016-17, we have identified 63 million. For 2015-16, 240 million. For 2015-16, is 424 million. However, included in the amounts that have been identified, there is information that is still being tested because there was insufficient document as of yesterday. But we hope by the end of this week we will have tested everything and confirmed the amount, because we are close to finalizing our financial year end. And if you look at that slide, most of the irregular expenditure came from the fact that there were no valid tax clearance certificates. In the past, the supply chain rules of SABC were requesting service providers to submit copies of tax clearance certificates, which is not allowed by triple PFA. And until we can confirm that those clearance certificates were valid, we classify them as irregular. With normal procurement, for the last 5 years, for 2016-17, we're sitting at 503 million.
Chairperson, my apology. Yeah. If she can repeat that one of the
tax clearance,
I didn't quite get her.
The old policy of SABC, and I need to clarify that policy has since been reviewed and approved by the previous board last year. Was required that when you submit for your program or for any procurement-related issue, they requested a copy. But if you look at the tax clearance certificate itself, it says a copy is not valid. So the triple PFA said you need to submit a valid tax return certificate, so a copy is not valid. So if you don't have an original, that's irregular. Okay, continued with normal procurement. For 2016-17, we're sitting at 583 million. We're still validating 100 million of that. For 2015-16, is 802 million. We're still validating 293 million of that. For 14-15, is 675 million. For 13-14, is 367. And for 12-13, is 280 million of that. Now, if we take all of them together, Chair, if we're able to validate all the documents by the end of March 2016-17, we'll be sitting with irregular expenditure of 5.1 billion. And the bulk of that irregular expenditure of 5.1 billion is relating to no tax clearance or invalid tax clearance of about 2.4 billion. Moving to fruitless expenditure. last year we had reported an amount of 92 million of fruitless and wasteful expenditure, and with the expression of Auditor General, there was an amount that we had to reverse of 21 million because it was not relevant to the fruitless and wasteful expenditure line item, and that amount was restated to 70 million. What I need to emphasize is that most of the fruitless and wasteful expenditures, as far as SABC is concerned, relate to impairment of television programs that we could not show which GE television will be able to explain further when questions arise. Just a bit of it relates to penalties that we receive on travel. So up to this stage, we have a closing balance of 74 million relating to fruitless and wasteful expenditure. With the process going forward, we by the end of this month we'll be submitting the information to AG for auditing. At the end of July, we expect AG to have expressed an opinion. And then from the 1st of August, the consequence management start with the forensic investigation, the SIU, and the recovery and condonation from the board. To be able to sustain improvement of the internal control environment in the SABC, SCM policy has been reviewed to make sure that it complies with the relevant legislation. We've also looked at our IT infrastructure, electronic infrastructure, which is our SAP system, to make sure that it assists in stopping some of these transactions from going through, because there's a pay, what we call procure to pay process that needs to be followed. So we want to make sure that if one step has not happened, the process doesn't go further than that. The SCM policy that has been approved has been workshopped with everybody. The delegation of authority has been reviewed, and with the new board, we are continuing with the revision to make sure that it complies with the laws of the country and the policies of SABC. And we will be continuing with training of our bid committees, because the bulk of this irregular expenditure came from procurement of goods and services through tendering processes. And we're making sure that the learning and development has a skills audit that will identify whether we have relevant skills in supply chain management that will assist in making sure that we are able to firstly prevent irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditure, and where we have not been able, we are able to detect and report as required by the Act. And make sure that when people are appointed within SABC, we take them through all the processes that are required, including the supply chain management policy of the organization. As Mr. Naidu has reported earlier, the following contracts have been referred to the SIU to make sure that irregular expenditure is correctly identified and accounted for? Is the contract with Infonomics, Mott McDonald, Asante Sana, Foston Communication, and Lizef Consulting? Oh, forensic audit. Sorry, Chair, that one is for a forensic audit. The one that is going to SIU is the contract with Lona Vision, contract with Vision View, contract with Sikela Klaviso, and all other fruitless and wasteful expenditure incurred between April 2012 and March 2017. All appointments, promotions, and salary increases of employees and bonuses paid to employees in contravention of human resource policies of the corporation, and arising from the recommendation from the public protector, the final report of the ad hoc committee, and other specific matters brought to the attention of the board. And from that, Chair, we'll take the question.
All right. Thank you for your presentation. I think the process of, except for the recovered so far, then should have been processed so far. And that process was not referring to Sekela Pabeso, because whatever work they do, they submit to the SAPC, and the SAPC that must process. We were asking you. I see you have answered that to say, well, after the AG report by July, from August, you will be looking at those aspects. Now, let me give Comrade Vincent first, because I requested him to look just at the contracts, few contracts, and then we can then deal with any and every other thing. Yes, Comrade.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, if I could start by referring to the presentation page that says value for contracts, the 25 million that you spoke about. Unless I've not got all the documentations, Chair, have got a contract for 2014, a contract April 2015, and a contract March 2016. Actual documents, those are the documents that I have.
Can you repeat the date?
All right. I'm looking at the bottom. When I say, first of all, these things have no signature on most of them, but I'm looking at the date at the bottom and I think you call it the foot. Is it the foot or something?
Yeah, I just want the date.
No, there's one that says December 2014.
Yeah, just
and I'm taking the date from the footers, Chair. Because the cover page that I have are all identical. So at the bottom here, it says December 2014 at the bottom there. Oh, let me give you the contract number. Sorry, let me use the reference number. Sorry, Chair, thanks. The first reference number ends with 9774.
Right.
And that is 2014. And then 10288, that's April 2015. And I have the final one of 11433, which is March 2016. May I proceed, Chair? Oh, must I repeat the numbers? There's one that says SAPC reference number 409774. And that one has December 2014 on it, if you look at the footer page. SAPC reference number 409774. together? No? 9774. No, the 1433 is March 2016. That's one I have. That is March 2016. Then I have another one of 10288, which is April 2015.
You've got those. We've got them.
Yeah, no, let's find.
They've got it.
Let's go into the content.
No, yeah, I was raising that and referring to this page here. So if they don't have it, it's going to be difficult. But let me raise the points that I have. If you take the document,
which page are you in their presentation?
The one that says value for contract. The 25 million that they refer to. I think it's about the seventh page or sixth page.
Okay, yeah, all right, no, that's fine.
I'm trying to reconcile the contract with the document that they presented to us. That's the exercise that I'm trying to because the documents that I have, the contract, and if these are the only legal documents I have, Chair, don't come close to 25 million. And that is why I started by saying the 2014 one shows a 4.4 million. 2014-15 shows a 4.8 million. And the 2016 one shows a 1.1 million. Those are the signed contracts that I have before me. 2014 is 4.4 million. If you look at the 0.611 on that contract. April 2015, if you look at 0.611, has 4.8 million. And if you look at March 2016 on 0.8.1 of the contract, it's 1.1 million. And I'm saying, Chair, I can't reconcile this to the figures that are there. So I'm saying that's the first question that they would need to answer to me, because I'm not sure where they got the 25 million unless there's documents that they've not given us or unless they've paid over and above the documents that we have.
Can I assist? I think the problem is not with them, although of course it is their problem that they gave to us. There is a contract of December 2016, which is valued at 9.8 million. The reference number ends with 2126. Now, the problem that our secretariat was settled with, they were sent documents and documents withdrawn and others sent, I think even yesterday. Was it yesterday? Day before yesterday, yes, I was still getting a complaint about documents that have just arrived. I have an email from the SABC saying disregard contracts of December this, March this, and they sent certain contracts and then later sent us a note to say ignore those, take these. And I think in the process of compilation, that is where they might have been lost. Because here I have, I'm sure I have about five or six contracts. So I think they are correct. It amounts to 25 million if you add this one, which you don't have, of 9.8 million.
That was my first point. So, Chair, I will take it that.
Okay, just a minute, Comrade Chilwane.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just to talk on the issue of documents, Chairperson, I hear that you're saying maybe it might be at our part. But we have a problem, Chairperson, with documents that are not coming forth. Like, for instance, that email that you've just read, that they will send a document and later withdraw it. It makes it difficult for us to follow and to work on. Because we do read these documents, Chairperson, and I think we've been saying this in all our meetings, that the issue of document need to be sorted out. Because you can see, chairperson, if somebody says this document, I'm withdrawing it, I'm giving you this one, then it means that the intention is just to confuse us. And we're not going to be confused, chairperson, because we're not confused.
All right. I'm sure the point is
made. Please, chairperson. And I think because if this is a public hearing, everybody is open to viewing this meeting as it goes on. We urge that whoever is going to come to the committee, please, they must just give us proper documentation. It's only fair, chairperson. Thank you.
Sure. Comrade Kuno, but I want Comrade Vincent to continue.
Just before he continues, chairperson, just to add on what Comrade Shulan has said, I mean, whether they've been withdrawn, the documents have been withdrawn or been given, this is still SABC. So the information that they are giving with what you have and agreeing with what they're saying, which it tallies. But, and then where does this come from? And these amounts that are written here, maybe, I don't know if you are thinking about the way we're thinking it. Don't you see that there's something sinister about it? That's why, I mean, we're trying to solve a problem, like the minister said in her opening remarks earlier on, that we have a problem with SABC. So if we don't tackle the problem and deal with the root causes, I don't think we are going to help each other at the end of the day. There is a document with amounts on, chairperson. So what do we do to this document? Because it is from SABC, and this was part of the budget. So how does it, we need to understand, how does it correspond to what she's saying right now?
All right. Now, I think, at least unlike last time when the documents were sent at night, for the meeting of the following day. This time, at least, we did have some bit of time to process a little bit of. Comrade Vincent, but I hear you.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, when you asked the SABC to introduce who's here, the head of supply chain management is here. And the head of forensic, I think, or something like that is here. And Mr. Guma was headhunted from the from the Auditor General of South Africa, specifically to deal with these matters. He was headhunted to deal with these matters. And if the SABC goes and appoints this organization to do what these two gentlemen, not necessarily themselves, but their officers, and what Aguma was supposed to do for 25 million rand for 9 months, or however long the time is. I think they will have to explain that to us, Chair. So that's the first point that I wanted to make. The second point that I wanted to make, Chair, just as a general before we get into the details. You know, the motivation for consultants is because they are in possession of scarce skills or specialized skills. You can't get a consultant because I have that in my department, but it's too much. Then I work overtime or I do something, but this organization was called to find missing documents for 25 million rand. Missing documents. This organization, Chair, taking your words, ma'am, were appointed in 2014. Because they didn't finish the work, they were appointed again in the next year. Because they didn't finish the work, they were appointed again the next year. But in all these instances where they didn't do the work to have to be reappointed, we paid them. We paid them. And yet we didn't do the work. So I'll add these three and then they can respond to them. The final one, just around the broad principles here. Unless I don't have the documentation, And I think I would refer to your words, Deputy Chair, where you said there was a culture of dictatorship or dictate, your words, when you started off. I have not seen a document where this organization went through an open tender. In fact, I read in one of the minutes that a decision was taken by the GCEO or the CFO that thou shalt appoint so-and-so, in one of the minutes that I have here. So, on what basis were they appointed? Was it an open tender? Number two, why do you continue to renew their contract? They haven't finished the work and yet you pay them. And thirdly, if we have forensic, we have supply chain management, we have a CFO who was brought into this organization from the Supreme Audit Committee in South Africa, or Supreme Audit Institution in South Africa, ostensibly to do this work. That's what he was appointed for. And we went to appoint somebody over and above that. If they could just try and unravel those things for us. Because I think Aguma has been there for the past 4 or 5 years. I'm not sure when he joined, but it certainly can't be that there was that gap because Aguma was there. And yet these people continue, 25 million rand. And as we speak, they still haven't paid it yet. So I've got a difficulty, and I'll take the blame, or we should take the blame, because we don't have the final contract. But as my colleague said, we get these things at the last hour, so don't blame us for not having it. But I just think that everything to do with this contract was against all prescripts. If they could just explain those things to us. Yeah, the payment, the appointment, and why the necessity to do it.
Right. The appointment, the payment, and then I think the gentleman and lady at the back can maybe talk about the necessity. How necessary was it?
Thank you, Chairperson. As you correctly pointed out, we've got the head of SCM here. We've got the head of forensic audit here. And I think they will be able to explain or try and explain why we switched from in-house working on these matters to engaging a consultant, by the way, without due process.
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members. Perhaps if you could indulge that I give a little bit of background on how procurement operates within SABC.
As long as it's not a long background.
Oh, sorry. It won't be long, Chair. I'll just make it quick. As indicated by the acting CFO and earlier by the Honorable Minister, the issue of document management is a challenge. But let me start it this way, Chair, so that I can create the picture and then you can see where we are, why we are where we are. Procurement processes in the SABC happen across the organization, as the acting CFO had indicated. Now, in other instances, this is what I could use the words as institutionalized procurement processes happening outside of a procurement or SCM unit as such, and I will give an indication to that. Some processes are informed by convenience as they happen outside of SCM as such, and would get to know about them as SCM after the fact. There would be some that will be situational when business units or department find themselves in a situation where they need to perhaps on agent basis, and I'll explain the provisions that would be invoked from time to time on situations that might warrant a procurement process happening outside of SCM as such. The one that would relate to an institutionalized process would be, which has been reflected as well in one of the slides from the CFO, the issue of consent acquisition. And there's a specific policy that deals with commissioning of content. Now, that activity happens outside of SCM unit, but it is a legitimate process that happens. of course, one might then say that
you are taking too long.
The other one could be, because you see, it's going to link chain members into where we are, so that we can have context to say, because, okay.
Yeah.
My brother, I thought that they are coming to a meeting to report, and we are just soliciting from you not new information. That story you gave us today in the SABC, don't start again. Answer the question directly, because I've got the BID committee meeting minutes here, and I don't know what you're talking about. I'm going to challenge you on your facts that you're putting. So don't give us the background. Give us facts. What is exactly going on? Don't give us a long story here. You told us that story in the SABC. We know what you're talking about. We know the story of Sikala Kabisa. We know it definitely. We know what has been going on. So listen to that background. Answer what the member is asking.
All
don't
right.
give us history.
Yeah, no, I think I was actually thinking that you would actually say no, we don't know why our seniors took the decision they took. But I see you want to drive into a lot of things. The issue is, and I think maybe the people sitting here in front with you could be the ones who can actually assist on why certain decisions were taken to look for an outside company to maybe recall how they were appointed, and even the payments, because just to expand, Comrade, if you look at the contract that Comrade Vincent does not have, the December 2016 one, okay, this one says they must investigate irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditure 2014-15 to 2016-17. That's fine. But if you look at the other two, they all say investigate irregular expenditure 2010-11, 2014-15. So which means within that time period, you then charge 4 million. Then at the end of your contract, you have not finished the work, then they give you another contract to do the same work, and then it's 10 million. So I think that's what he's asking, and that's why I'm saying maybe the middle management, that side, may not know how the senior managers came to take those kind of decisions. Unless if you feel you can tell us something.
Okay, thanks, Ted. Then to cut to the chase.
Just a minute, yeah.
Chairperson, I do respect you. The you see, on the SABC minutes of the audit committee that took place on the 25th November 2016, this thing, Sekela Kabisa, and the confusion that is there and the infighting that is taking there, I can show you, I can submit. This, the whole debate took place, and the infight among themselves, even when Matthew has to intervene, and how they came to that decision. This lady is misleading us, Chairperson. There's a lot of controversy and infighting that took place there. And he knows for a matter of fact that, and she was not even the CFO, that detailing that relationship within this particular document from the SABC. If you want me to submit it to you.
What is the date of those minutes?
The minutes, Chairperson, is the 25th of November, 2015. 25th November, 2015. Status in terms of clearing the internal and external audit. And
all right, which page? I have it.
I'm reading it to you.
Okay.
It says 2.1.
Oh, all right.
That's where the debate is taking place, Chairperson, extensively. The CFO took members through the status of the clearing of the internal audit and external audit and disclaimer issues and highlighted the salient points. And the topic goes on and on. It's not even closer to what he's trying to lecture us about. And that's the meeting that I would say to you would show to all of us that there has been confusion and infight among themselves.
Your third paragraph.
Yes, Chairperson.
Talks about the
CFO reported to the project
in respect that the project in respect of the detection of the historical irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditure has been put on hold due to an internal controversy surrounding the appointment of Sikela Qabiso, Pty Ltd. He informed members that he had approached the GCOS, Mr. F.L. Matlala, at the time, but he had not acted on that matter. He subsequently raised the issue that with the acting GCO, J.B. Murphy, he stated that it goes on. So I don't know what he's talking about. We have got your minutes, sir. Don't tell us about institutional stories. Tell us about what happened. Ma'am, you are misleading us.
Corporate Vincent. yes, Slengwa and then Ross.
Chair, the minutes of the BAC of the 18th of November on page 16.
Wait. 18th of November?
Yes, 2014.
Yeah. Which page?
Page 16. What I want to understand, I heard that story in Johannesburg, and it was before we'd received this, and I'm wanting to build on what Honorable Boyce said. The perception presented was that, or what had been presented was that, Sekela Qabiso was requested to come in and investigate irregular expenditure. Because you gave us this thick document, this one here, of all sorts of things, speeding fines, failure to attend to pitch at the airport, hotel accommodation, and all sorts of things. All of this is very regular finish. But again, so that also is coming to tease this out, and probably will find more. But on the minutes of the, I think it's being honest, dude. Babeya for Sekela Qabiso. That's what meaning I want to know. Now, your own minutes, the minutes chair. After a long narrative, here's the approval given for a deviation from the normal procurement process. And I'm reading now resolution 18/11/14, BAC 303. Resolve that approval be and is hereby given for the deviation from the normal procurement process to enter into a contract with Sekela Qabiso for a period of 3 months from 18 November 2014 to 17 February 2015 at a total cost of 5 million rands exclusive of VAT to conduct a forensic investigation into television and all marketing areas within the SABC. Is now the unearthing of irregular expenditure this? Honorable Smith has asked the fundamental questions. Go to the point of it. Did they actually undertake what they were sourced to do?
I think, comrades, let me hear Comrade Kuno first so that we can then. It was Ross and then yes, Ross.
Jefferson, just to flag in terms of the value of the contracts, my recollection of what happened on the 28th of March when we were in Johannesburg, when I posed the question to James Aguma specifically, sir, can you give us an indication as to the value of the contract? He then indicated he did not know, and he pointed to a lady sitting in the middle there. I recollect this very vividly, and she had to give us some figures. Now, I'd just like to alert Mr. Smith to this. He's quite right. It's very difficult to reconcile the value of the contracts with the documentation. But that lady gave us an indication it's about 4 or 5 million, if I understand correctly. I don't know whether it was perhaps somebody sitting here in the room. And then as we walked out, I asked, I believe it was the AG, whether that was the full amount and whether it was correctly disclosed. And I recollect very vaguely, and this is informal, no, there's a lot more. That's what I recollect. But we are shocked as a committee today. We are totally devastated to hear that the amount is 25 million. Now, this is a deliberate attempt to mislead an oversight committee of SCOPA, if that is the case. And I have sympathy with Mr. Smith trying to reconcile documents with the values. I think we as a committee, and to listen to other submissions, that doesn't make sense, where there's a clear indication of non-compliance in terms of supply chain management, that we should take a decision that we should be informed in terms of our forensic investigation, whoever. And then the outsourcing of an in-house institution to Sekela and those guys to do further investigations. I can just say this is an absolute duplication of the role of the AG. And I think the Honorable Smith had said, he will not allow the AG to be second guessing in terms of this. To appoint these people as an outside source to do the investigation was putting an already constrained entity that cannot pay the staff, which there was no admittance of a crisis, into a much more serious crisis. And if that amount is 25 million, I think we are dealing with criminality to the extent that it's unimaginable. And Chairperson, I as a committee would recommend that we take some decisions as to what exactly we would like to hear and what we would like to take action on. Thank you.
First question, Comrade Kuno.
Thanks, Chairperson. I agree with my colleagues, Chairperson. Heads have to roll. What they are saying. In fact, one of the ladies from Sekela, she was also she's also from the Auditor General's office. She was a senior executive in the Auditor General's office. So it's a problem. But you know, Chairperson, that's why there are withdrawal of documents that are already given. There's something that people are hiding. I think the fear that the minister spoke to in the morning, and what the deputy chairperson has as well, is going to go on and on. But I have a problem. I don't want to repeat what they've said because I agree fully with them. I have a problem when an audit, when he opens a statement and he says that documents are not filed properly. You cannot shift blame. Much as I agree that AGOMA is a problem, but it's not the sole problem of SABC. And you cannot shift the blame. Where are your documents as internal audit? Whatever, whether you have been given job, work, or you are not given work, but you should have your own documents that you have filed. So if we shift blame, we are not going to solve the root causes of SABC. So I'm just saying that we have a problem, that we have all agreed that we have a problem. Let us address the problem and let us try to be as honest as possible, at least the senior managers that are here. Thanks, Chair.
Yes, Comrade Boy, then I'll come to you.
I just thought that, Chairperson, you know, it's very nice to read about Sekela Qabiso. You see, it says still on the minutes there that he stated that this is now Mr. Matthew. He stated that he had advised Mr. Matthew that in the event that the issue was not resolved, the SABC would receive an audit qualification. Sekela Qabiso was required to determine the irregular, fruitless, and wasteful expenditure from prior years for proper disclosure, and the Auditor General to sign off on the amount. He stated that the SABC did not have the internal capacity to resolve the irregular, fruitless, and wasteful expenditure issues, and was of the opinion that there was a conspiracy to prevent the appointment of Sekela Qabiso. That's what we know, ma'am. It's not you telling us the truth. This is the state of this contract that they're trying to mislead us about, that you think that we should believe in your presentation. You were fighting about it. It's not us who are fighting. And more as it go forward, you couldn't even agree because you're putting the others. The CFO stated that although the COO had approved the appointment in accordance with the requirements of delegation of authority, the legal division has refused to release the contract until they had obtained approval from the head of procurement for the deviation. Ms. Watwat responded that she was unsure about the conspiracy to which the CFO referred to, and that she did not receive contracts with the with a value of less than 15 million. This is the fight, man. You are not telling us the truth. And we did, no, don't tell us you are not there. You are doing a presentation and you make us to want us to believe. And we told you that we know what is going on in the SABC. And we are not even quoting your, what you, we are not listening to you. We are telling you that Akuma ran away because he knew that you have got facts about what is going on in the SABC. And you came here to come and mislead Parliament. And you knew that we came to the SABC. And we, the commitment that we made to help you, you are moving away from it. You are misleading Parliament. And that poor gentleman doesn't know that we do have, he doesn't have to tell us the institutional arrangements say we have got facts. We know what is going on in the SABC. And these are the facts. That Sekela Qabiso is a controversial appointment inside the SABC, not outside. So we can't take that report anywhere. Was they have appointed on a wrong mandate. My colleague there is talking about something also in your minutes, in different dates. How can we listen to you? And this is the interim board is supposed now to be aware that we do know what is going on. And you are sent on a mission to come and be seen and be that you are in conflict with Parliament. And that's not what it is. Akuma has run away from this millet because he knew Sekela Qabiso is a wrong appointment. That's why it's at 25 million today. And that is the disaster. And that report can't be authentic because they themselves are not authentic. And that's where our problem is now.
All right. Okay. I want us to, we must decide what we want to do with those questions because they need to be responded to from their side. Comrade Chiloane.
Chairperson, we fully agree with what you're saying. Unfortunately, you know, these matters, they would want us to speak more. Because, you know, unfortunately, Deputy Chairperson of the Interim Board, the booking off of somebody who's not at work has compromised us to be here we are today. Because that is why, without speaking like we are doctors or whatever, we'll say, unfortunately, Mr. Akuma did not want to come in account. Because everything that has happened, everything that we are doing, has had to happen under his watch. And I don't know, Chairperson, we have an arrangement as with the Hawks. As our stakeholders, I haven't seen them in our meetings. Because for these reasons, Chairperson, we need them to be here. Because this is purely corruptive issues that have been taking place in the SABC. And we just need to set an example. We cannot be sitting here and be seen like we're lamenting over nothing. But where there's proof that something has went wrong with the public funds, Chairperson. I just wanted to raise, Chairperson, that issue.
Okay. Okay. Comrade Mente, and then Comrade Kekane, and then we...
thanks, Chair. Chairperson, if I can take... Are you to the page where it says value of contracts with Sekela Qabiso? And you do the math. I just want to show you the criminality on this thing. And you do the math. 2014-2015 is 4.7 million. 2015-2016 for 8 months, it's 10.3 million. So 10.3 and the one below, it's not correlating. Now, you take the one in 2016-2017, it's 9 months. It's more than the 8 months, but it's less amount than the one that had more months to do the very same work. It was just numbers being pasted or numbers given. Take this money. It doesn't matter how much work you have. But we'll just give you, you are our channel of financing whatever was being financed at that moment. Now again, let's go to the contract. The contract of 2015, and you compare them to the minutes of the 2015 meeting. The contract of the SABC was signed April 2015, the one of 2015, but the BAC that approved the contract, that approved the tender, said in May, you first sign, and then you instruct the BAC, go sit and just do whatever it has to be. Just a matter of process and documentation. You first sign, and then the body that is supposed to decide if we take these people or not sits after you have signed. It doesn't make sense.
Comrade Kikan.
No, Kiabo Kamdulas too. Chair, I think we have dealt with the issue, and it is very clear that the company that was appointed to assist the SABC to deal with the fruitless and wasteful expenditures was illegally appointed. I think that point, everybody agrees to that. And I don't think it would help us, that is, to look at the contract itself, because obviously it is very clear that the contract was illegal. And if you look at the presentation from, that is, the representatives from the SABC, they have acknowledged that also. I think it is the last slide before, thank you. They concede that this matter has been referred to the SIU for investigation. And my proposal would then be, let's not lament on the issue, because already there is a process that is undertaken by, that is, the SABC. All what I need to know is, when was this that is referred to the SIU? What progress that is there on the issue? Because everybody accepts, that is, from the team here and the SABC itself, that this is illegal and it needs to be investigated by the law enforcement agencies. And what follow-up are you making in terms of this issue? Because we need to finalize this issue and close it, rather than us looking at the contracts. We accept, and you also accept, that there are flaws in terms of this contract. And when you go through the contract and the documents applied, that is, by yourselves, there is a clear acknowledgement that this is pure criminality. And all what we are saying is, just give us the timelines in terms of your referral of this issue to the SIU, and from here, what are we then going to do?
All right. I think if you look at the December 2016 contract, it's signed on the 23rd of December, but Sekela Xabiso's project billing schedule starts in November. Then goes to December, just like that. I'm sure it should be some printing errors, but those are the things that you pick up. Comrade Vincent, can you assist us?
Yes, sir. I think, in concurring with what all members have said, so that we so that we dispense with the contract part of it. I think, however, it's not as simplistic as we are making it out to be. First of all, let me make the point that the accounting authority, if there's another cent spent on this, you'll fall foul of the PFMA, because it's your role to prevent. I think that's the first point we must make to you. Another cent spent on this contract, you'll fall foul of the PFMA because you have failed to prevent it. By your own admission, you said this contract was irregular. The second point here that I'm raising is, and that's why I'm saying it's not as simplistic as it is. All we're saying is, you can't, from where we are. We're not going to overreach, but we don't think it's advisable. The second one, Chair, that worries me is the financial exposure that this transaction has caused the SABC. Because if you unilaterally suspend this contract, as we are advising you to, and there are costs that they could claim. What do we do? So it's not as simple as saying don't pay them anymore, but if you are contractually obliged to do it, then you are exposing us to, and I'm not saying that must be the mitigation, all I'm saying is go and do what you need to do. Because you're exposing us, and the more you do it, the more you expose us. The second point is, if you continue to pay them, I will call for your dismissal. I will call for your dismissal. Because the minister said, or somebody else here said, we must begin to register delinquent directors. You will be the example of delinquent directors. From Scopus here, we must make it clear, they will be the first example of delinquent directors, because we are saying it to them by their own admission. So I think, let's wrap it up, I agree with our colleagues that this thing cannot continue. It has been proved, it's gone to the SIU, and for you to make sure that the SIU expedites or assists you in mitigating between, do we cancel it, or do we pay a penalty for cancelling it? That's your problem, it's not our problem. But any cent spent on this thing, I can assure you, you'll be delinquent directors, and we'll call for your head. So I think let's leave the contract. And I think it assisted us to expose to them the kind of work that has been done. And I'm sure this will repeat itself in all the other contracts. So I think it gives you an example of being proactive, Chair. So I think we've beaten the contract part of it to death, in the sense that it's just illegal, doesn't hold water, and we will take you to task if you spend another cent on it. I'm not sure, then, Chair, that there's anything else to talk on contract.
I wanted us to check with the do we have internal audit? Yeah, internal audit. We have forensic audit. Can you talk to us in terms of your capacity one? Because the reason for hiring this external body, it was because we have no capacity. But when you look at their proposal of the work they must do, it is all about looking for papers. And even at that, SABC must employ a project manager who must be the one responsible for looking for papers and giving these people whenever they want them.
Not responded to. There is a tendency that is in the SABC that when we deal with issues, you might find that this was referred yesterday to SIU.
Oh, no,
yes.
That's fine. No.
Let them explain to us when was it referred.
Okay, no, that's fine. Let him answer, and then I'll refer it back to you. No, thanks, comrade.
Thank you, Chairperson. In terms of the... I'll talk to the human resource capacity. We currently 9 investigators overseeing all the 9 provinces within the SABC. And secondly, in terms of fruitless and irregular expenditure, we have been keeping a schedule of cases that we come across where we pick up that there was irregular and fruitless and wasteful expenditure. So now, the unfortunate part is that when Sekela Kabiso was brought into the picture, we were not consulted. There was also no transfer of skills in terms of, for the first year, they will work with our team so that where maybe we are lacking, we can also learn from them. So that has never happened.
All right. It's fine. Mr. Naidu? When was this referred to the SIU, and what are your timelines with them?
Yeah, we, at our special board meeting on the 21st of April, SIU made a presentation. We then took a decision to engage them. The following Monday, that's about 3 days later, we met with SIU. We formed a task team within the board, which I'm heading up, together with some of the colleagues from the department, the group executives. We met with them and referred 5 matters to them, the matters that set out in our presentation. Now, specifically on the question of Sekela Kabiso and fruitless and wasteful expenditure, we gave them both tasks because we wanted them to get to the bottom of the problem on this matter for us. Now, we have asked the departments to give them additional documentation which they've requested, and sometime next week we have the follow-up meeting where we engage them formally, because they are coming back to us with a price because they charge for their services. The first point of business would be to get a presidential proclamation. SIU has been in touch with the President's office on this matter, and they gave us an indication that by early June they would get the presidential proclamation. And this was the first order of business, Sekela Kabiso and the fruitless and wasteful expenditure of them. So they put a two-month timeline to that. So hopefully by about August we would get a report from the SIU on this particular contract.
On the pity, the pages are not numbered, but on this page, referral to SABC Forensic Unit. I'll come to you. That page says irregular expenditure incurred between 2012 and 2017 March, as well as contracts with the companies that have been mentioned, have been referred to your forensic unit. And then you have other companies that have been referred to the SIU. How did you differentiate that this should go to the forensic unit, this should go to the SIU?
Chair, what we did is, as a committee, we looked at all these these contracts, firstly, were flagged in the final report of the ad hoc committee, and secondly, they were brought to our attention by the SIU when we met them. So as a committee, we didn't want to give too much to the SIU because it will be overloaded and we'll get a report in 2 years' time. So we have an internal audit division. So we looked at certain contracts where we thought was purely irregular expenditure, perhaps lack of documentation rather than corruption or improper conduct. So on the contract that we referred to SIU, it was very, very clear to us that these matters were really crying out for an independent audit as opposed to having an in-house audit, because the problem with in-house audits sometimes is that influence can be brought to bear on individuals conducting those audits and we may not get the outcome that we expect. So we first did a distinction of referring those five critical areas to the SIU. And then on the balance of matters, the decision we took is that the head of forensic will commence these five or six investigations, and we prioritize that with him. If we are not satisfied with that outcome, we will then refer it back to the SIU. So in that way, we take total control of the situation as the audit committee to get the final outcome that we're looking for.
Lastly, have you considered the, in terms of their work, the report that must have come to your desk on Monday from Sekela Kabiso, because they told us when we were in Joburg that they will deliver their report to you on the 15th of May. Has it been delivered? Have you considered how their work will fit into the work that they would have done?
Yeah, the work done by Sekela Kabiso thus far will form part of the information pack sent to the internal audit.
All right. Okay. No, thanks. I want Team Comrade Boy, but I wanted Comrade Vincent to proceed, because the issue around Sekela Kabiso contract, I'm not sure if we still want to belabor that point. Tim?
Chair, I'll be brief. My colleagues were telling me that we were finishing up, so I was just getting a bit concerned. But
no, we're finishing up the first question.
No, that's fine. Just right. Now that we've touched on the SIU and we seem to have discussed that and put it away, I just want to raise one flag. We have staff that have been working at the SABC, and all the board of directors are not staff at SABC. They're independent. But we have staff at the SABC now, one of which is the new acting CEO, Celiso Welitabo, okay, and the secretary, the company secretary, or the group secretary, Geldenes, that may well have to work with the SRU and their work. And I'm concerned that we have staff that hark back to when all these issues were happening, and you contemplating, I don't know how permanent Ralitabo is going to be, you contemplating a CEO job there. Do we not have an issue where an investigation could be compromised by having staff that were involved in the history of this thing working with the SIU? And I think that the board needs to take that very carefully on into consideration. You cannot have compromised people being involved there, because it can sully the investigation and can create, thank you, a conflict of interest. Thanks.
Comrade Chilwan.
Chairperson, I just wanted to get the clarity. We just exonerate the issue of Sikela Qabisa, so the other one we delete them, or on the issue of contracts, all of them we not talking. I just wanted to get the clarity.
No, so far we're dealing with Sikela Qabisa. I don't know if...
Because on the... I know that... Honorable Vincent is busy with that, because we wanted to talk to these other issues of the SABC forensic, which have been handed over to SABC forensic unit.
No, it's so fine. We'll.
Okay.
We'll.
All right. Thank you.
No, on our way of going forward, Chairperson, we are interested in the irregular and fruitless expenditure. And clearly, with the controversy that's around Sekela Qabisa, which was the backbone of Aguma's analysis and strategy of how to get out and explain the irregular and fruitless expenditure and undermining the Auditor General's office. Given that the Auditor General seems to have to give their opinion on the 31st, it was going to be based on Sekela Qabisa's contribution. Would you apply your mind and give us direction that between the audit, would you assist the Auditor General to come and tell us exactly what is the state of things within the SABC? Or, because we can't rely on Sekela Qabisa, they are totally controversial. And, I mean, our opinion is very strong on Sekela Qabisa. So, given that strategy has fallen apart, can the Auditor General rise to the moment and give us proper guidance as to what is exactly going on in the state of things, so that we're able to take our way forward based on what the Auditor General is saying, not some Mickey Mouse of organizations being created around the road.
Right. No, that's fine. I think from the end of May, the Auditor General will be busy with the books of the SABC. So maybe what you're suggesting is that once they've done their work, it is concluded, then they can come and give us a status report that this is what we've seen, this is what we've found. Because remember, the major problem of the major, not the only problem of the Auditor General, is that the statement of irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditure is not complete. So we don't know the quantum. That's why it is qualified. And Sekela Qabisa is supposed to go to the bottom and say, this is the extent of the irregular expenditure. And then to say, fine, as the report says, once that has been now confirmed and confined, how then do you start to deal with your disciplinary processes? So I think we can engage the Auditor General once they have now gone through the books of the SAP. And then let's Deputy Chair. Just a minute.
Just said, Chairperson. I think the gentleman at the back, I didn't get his name. The one who was talking about. Okay. And I'm saying that maybe his job as well, because, I mean, they were doing something but they were not considered, has to be taken into consideration. I think the Deputy Chair heard that they're actually doing what Sekela Qabisa was doing in a way. So I'm just saying that his work as well has to be taken into consideration.
No, let me give Ross first. Ross?
Just an Indiani contribution, Chairperson. I appreciate the Chairperson, I appreciate the proposals by Mr. Boy with regards to the AG, but I would also like to perhaps make a recommendation that in terms of the non-compliance in supply chain management, that Treasury surely should have had a look at these contracts that was inflated, in my mind, from 1.1 million to 25 million. And that the procurement office, as soon as possible, perhaps brief this committee.
Okay, Tim?
Just making sure I get an answer on that question about SIU. Don't forget it. In all of this, it must be answered that. Who's going to work with the SIU?
No, it's fine. They will respond to it. Yes, sir.
Thanks. I just want a clarity. So is the committee to understand that the decision to appoint Sekela Qabiso was done, it was regular. I am in full agreement in itself. That's part A. What I want to understand, Chair, is what I heard was they were not consulted. They did not know the line function department. So do you believe now, not saying that you are not consulted, that you actually had and have the capacity to have done and to do what Sekela Qabiso was doing? But Chair, the one issue is, as regulated as it was, somebody must be accountable for having taken a decision to appoint something which was not needed. But the rolling effects of this are quite big, so just to know, right, you are not consulted. So when it came to bear, did you actually say, but this was not necessary, do you believe what you had the capacity? But Chair, here's the thing which I think the board must take forward with them, in light of what we put to them about Mr. Yakum, is that investigate the serious allegation that Mr. Aguma at some point resigned, and that resignation between him and somebody else was subsequently withdrawn, an arrangement was made because a gun was to his head. But it speaks then to all this Kshayama's business Chair we've been speaking about. Would his continued presence there, was it now in the interests of the SABC or contrary to that? Thanks, Chair.
All right. Deputy Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I just thought maybe we should allow Mashego to deal with the issue about whether Forensic has the capacity or not. Then I'll deal with Honorable Tim's question and make sure that it doesn't disappear.
In answering that, I think I'll answer it this way. It's a function of both SCM and also forensics in terms of identifying fruitless and irregular expenditures during the execution of our duties. Mainly, how we would identify it is when there is a referral of an investigation, and within that investigation, then we pick up that there were certain irregularities that amounts to
referral
either
by who?
Sorry, Chair.
Referral by who?
Either by management who requests assistance, or by a whistleblower who suspects that there is something untoward that is happening in a particular area. So it will be uncovered in that manner.
Mm. So what is referred to you? The question is, do you have the ability to investigate once issues are referred to you?
We do have the ability to investigate once matters are referred to us. Maybe there might be certain issues that we have never come across. You know, that's where skills transfer comes in terms of if we're working with them, we might learn something new that we never knew. But as I'm saying, since 2012, we have been keeping a schedule of matters that we come across and we identify that as fruitless and wasteful or irregular expenditure, and we would report on those.
Comrades, there's another contract here satellite service of 1.1 million, part of which was to investigate the chief audit executive for pursuing unauthorized investigations and undermining the board. Chief audit executive, that is head of internal audit.
Okay.
That's fine. Let's talk to.
Yeah. All right.
Let him answer first. Otherwise, we might.
Thank you, Chair. I think what the colleague has just said now should be taken in together with what Krish said earlier, that the audit committee is now demanding monthly reports so that you don't sit with things that are piling up and then at the end of the year you are told we have 1 billion rands worth of things that shouldn't have happened. So these guys have now been told by the audit committee, every month you must come and tell us if there is anything that is untoward that you are finding. And you must come to the audit committee. If you think the audit committee is not taking you seriously, you can go to the board directly so that the matters can be attended to as early as they are happening. So that capacity that he's talking about has to be seen in the context of also what the board is trying to do. Now to the issue about conflicted staff that we have to deal with on a daily basis and who is going to be dealing with SIU. We find ourselves in the same position that this country found itself in 1994, where the democratic government had to function using the same bureaucracy that was responsible for the oppression of our people. So the challenge is on us as the board about how we navigate that space, but we are alive to the fact that some of the people that we are relying on are the same people who are responsible for that. So how do we mitigate all of those things but make sure that we make progress as we go forward? So as I sit here as the deputy chair of this interim board, I can say to you, Honorable Tim, that we are alive to the challenges and we do everything that we can. Whatever little progress that has been made now has not been without the kind of challenges that you are talking about. To produce the document that the minister is saying is insufficient, needed a lot of going forward and backwards to ensure that we get the information that we want from people who are not really willing to do so. But we are here. We're committed. And we will do it.
Okay. Comrade, please, comrade, I want to go back to Comrade Vincent. comrade Mente and Vukshia Nomhlanga. Yes, comrade.
No, Chairperson, there's something bothering me from I thought that they said you will talk to it. From the statement of Mr. Naidu, that there are cases which the in-house audit team cannot really take care of simply because they're trying to run away from briberies, those threats and everything. But then that is going to be an ongoing process. If we hire in-house audit people that are not credible enough to look into what they have to do without being told by other people outside that you do it this way or you are dead. We cannot open up a space where we doubt that our in-house audit teams can perform and be equal to the task. That one has to be rooted out. If a person is not equal to the task, out. We need audit teams in each and every entity, simply because we're trying to save the money of this country. So we cannot continue to outsource because we are saving the lives of the people that are disloyal. If a person cannot be loyal, out. Thanks.
All right. You know, Comrade Vincent, I think you basically murdered the hearing. No, apology accepted. No, I'm looking at the situation, comrades, that the information that we sought in terms of the, because Deputy Chair, what we where we were going to was to now take the 5 billion rand regular expenditure and seek to check on each and every transaction, the same way that management would do after receiving the internal audit or Sekela's investigation, so that we understand the genesis, the basis on which a decision was taken, and the people responsible, and the action taken to satisfy ourselves as oversight that indeed justice was done. Now, I don't know, comrades, there are two things arising from the report. One, it is that there is referral to the forensic unit, and there is referral to the SIU. I wanted to suggest that two things we do. One has been what Comrade Boyes suggested, that once the Auditor General has done his job, she's sitting there in the back, we can then engage the AG on their finding. But two, I wanted to suggest that once the presidential proclamation has been done on engaging the SIU, we may need to engage them. We can decide whether right at the beginning to make sure we have a common understanding on the work that they are going to do, and or once their report is out, them together with the SABC and or even the work of the forensic audit to follow up on it once they've given reports, whether in part or in full, to say on the work that you've already done, this is what you have found, let's talk to it. I wanted to look into that possibility. I'll start from the left right to my extreme right. Yes.
Chair, I agree that that makes sense, but I just have three questions I want to ask the board before we move on. And can I quickly do them? It'll take me 1 minute. The first question that Deputy Chairperson, whoever can answer, is what is the amount of bailout that you're talking to Treasury about? Clearly you're going to need a bailout. We need to know what the amount is of the bailout that you're going to be requesting. Please, if you could tell us that. The other question was, has SABC managed at this point to pay the recipients of the Metro FM awards? Has that been sorted out? Okay. And then three, her royalties. How many royalties are owed? Because this whole 90% 10% content issue is out there, and it almost seemed as if SABC is saying, you know what, let's use local content because they're easier to rip off. Okay, local artists that are struggling don't have the money for the lawyers and the advocates to go to court, whereas Michael Jackson's estate does. So let's use local guys because it's cheap and it's easier not to pay them. Now, our president has told us 30 days. Where are we in terms of paying royalties to our local artists? I understand you spoke about the waterfall earlier, Deputy Chairperson, and I hope they're not at the bottom of the side of that waterfall, but if you can just give us some clarity as to where our local artists are in terms of their royalties being paid. There were other questions I'd like to have asked of Mr. Gumer himself, but unfortunately he didn't have the courage to appear today. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, I just want to zoom in on the way forward in which you are proposing.
I mean, if Segela was to hand over their report on their findings on the 15th, Chair, I believe you mean somebody is sabotaging me with their... Every time I speak, I kid you not.
But we have made a request that please...
Somebody is... Even
well,
yesterday...
There are no NFP members in this commission.
But... Chair, if Segela was to have submitted their report on the 15th, today being the 17th, I doubt that even the board and management would have had the time to have actually gone through it. So I think it's in the interests of justice, quote unquote, that let's allow the process to play itself out. But Chair, I would request that we get a briefing from the SIU, even probably prior the proclamation, so that if there are additions that we want to make, they may inform the scope and content of that. Because once proclaimed, the scope may be limited, and then we want other things in there which may now be outside their... So, Chair, I would suggest that the Manco sits down and craft a timetable specifically on this one. I know we've got the terms program, but I believe that this one may need to run a parallel process to that, so that we can actually in stages and in sequence know that where we are. Chair, the final point which I want to make and stress. You know, I get a feeling Wuthi, staff SAPC is living in a fear of some sort. And the board is, you could even sit when you were there. And the confusion with documents and so on and all the things, whether it's to us or anybody else, is just that, hey, if I hand this over, won't I get into trouble? And I really, Chair, want to... My phones are off. So, Chair, but what I want to say is that I really believe, Chair Wuthi, we must assure the board and the staff that we're not on a witch hunt here. We are there to help them. But we can't help them if they can't help us. Give us the information. Be honest about the information. But the other thing, Chair, we must not run the risk of trying to replace the portfolio committee. Whatever we may need must be understood that we need it specifically for the work in which is before us.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Comrade Mente?
Chair, just two things from me. I know there is a new board, and the risk with new people is that, like Andate said, to have alluded to earlier on, is that you have to sometimes rely to all the wrong things in order for you to make a decision. However, within the upcoming appointments, in particular the interviews that you're going to conduct, which I hope the board sits with the panel, ensure that the people that get appointed do understand the law of this country, in particular where finances are concerned. Do not allow the political interference. Do not allow the outside world to dictate to you who and what must happen and who must be appointed. Because the reason why we're in this mess is people listening to the outside world instead of doing their actual job. And we trust that you are a board of credibility. You will do what is expected of you to do. I need not to spell out the regulations they need to understand. We all know what documents that those people have to understand, so that the SABC is saved from the crisis it's in today. And then number two,
Just to add on what Comrade Tim has asked on, in terms of how much did you ask for from Treasury, I want to add that how much do you actually need from Treasury? Because you only needed something to keep the situation off now. But the problem is bigger than the situation that we're in now. And we cannot, in this time, in South Africa, lay off some workers, in particular SABC. It's an entity that we are looking up to. And the skill that is already in SABC, you cannot afford to lose it simply because you cannot pay them. So how much is it that you actually need to save your problems? Thank you.
Comrade Vincent?
No, Chair, mine is very short. Chair, I concur 100% with your recommendation that we leave this matter because it's been dealt with by the SIU and others, including the AG. And I say that, Chair, because we must be cognizant of the fact that your recommendation is consistent with what Parliament adopted, emanating from the ad hoc committee. So Parliament has said, go and do X, Y, and Z. We've adopted it. We are Parliament. So to do or to suggest anything differently, it will be sending mixed signals to this board. So that's why I'm saying, Masivale, they must implement as Chair has, I mean, as the Minister has said, they are committed to implement it. It'll then cover all our issues because it is consistent with what Parliament has already adopted.
Comrade Kuno, I'm not forcing anyone to say anything.
No.
But
I want to
giving comrades the opportunity to Comrade Kuno.
I'm the most quiet person, Chairperson. Yeah, Chairperson.
I know. Don't worry, continue.
I agree with what you have said. The conclusion remarks that you have said. But I wanted to suggest in trying to help the board as well that maybe we need to have a formal report of the skills audit of SABC so that going forward we don't have a problem of the consultants that we've had before. I was trying to go through the SABC Act to check how are the employees of SABC employed. But I was trying to peruse that I couldn't get my answer. But I wanted to say that according to Batupili's principles, which the government should adhere to, I think it takes all, including the entities as well, is that one of the things that they need to adhere to is the openness and transparency, give information that they are supposed to give to. So I wanted to suggest, Deputy Chairperson, that the senior management that you have within the SABC, maybe they need to, just to take out the HOHO part, please, Chairperson, because we cannot deal with HOHOs, because we're trying to solve a problem. We won't get into the root end of the HOHOs, you know, the fears that the Deputy Chairperson talked about.
Okay.
I thought we all know what HOHO is.
No, just finish up.
Okay.
Don't worry about
okay.
Okay.
Yes, I wanted to suggest that at least the senior management, they need to, because, I mean, that's what we do when we come into Parliament. We take an oath, and we sign to a particular contract. And I think after you have dealt with the senior officials, it has to go down to the junior officials, up to the middle management, so that the problem of information that you're looking for, if anybody does not give that information, they should know that they are breaching the contract that they've agreed to. I just wanted to suggest that. Yes, the acting positions that we have, Chairperson, I think it's one of your duties as the acting interim board. No, interim board, there's no acting. The interim board that needs to be filled up. And I think we need to have a report as soon as possible. And I think we all agree that there's a problem. When we have the meeting with the SIU,
I would suggest that the board also becomes part of that meeting. And that's why in the beginning, Chairperson, I was saying it is important that we have Aguma coming here, so that some of the problems that he has made, wherever that he's going to be employed in South Africa, we must make sure that we deal, if we don't deal with those problems, we will be setting a wrong precedence, Chairperson. And wrong information will get out there that people, they can do whatever they want to do. If they want to appear proper, they can just run and say, we are sick, we cannot come and appear before a committee. I think we invited them before, he could have made arrangements with, as far as that is concerned. So we should a message should be sent clearly out there that we're not taking his absence lightly. Because he was there as the group CEO, and he must come and account for the wrongs that he has made. Thanks, Chair.
Right, thanks. Comrade Chulwan.
Chairperson, thank you very much. I think I will join my other colleagues in agreeing to your proposal. Chairperson, I think my challenge is upon on SABC when we write our report. I don't know how are we going to deal. Maybe we'll deal with it when we are in the plenary in terms of this irregular expenditure. Because Sikela Qabiso is also part to the irregular expenditure. And like when I was asking Chairperson this issue, these other contracts which have incurred in terms of the regular expenditure, those ones that have been handed over to the SABC forensic unit. Maybe I wanted to check, Chairperson, how much is the value of those contracts, those that are being handed over to the internal forensic unit, and that were they also handed to them on the same date like the one that we have decided is the which they've been handed to the SIU. For safe to say, Chairperson, just to reiterate what my other colleagues have said, Honorable Terse, that the CFO, Mr. Aguma, I think, Deputy Chairperson, you'll pass the message that the committee is really not happy about him not coming to the meeting. It is his responsibility to come and account together with the board, because so many of the misfortunes or whatever that has happened in the SABC, it was under his watch. So we still need to make him to account. Running around is not going to assist him, Chairperson. We're still going to ask you, Chairperson, to have SABC to come back and appear to SCOPA. And Mr. Aguma must come. We also come to Parliament even when we're in hospital, when there's a three-line whip, Chairperson.
I see your chief whip is right behind you.
Yes, Chairperson. We do come. When there's a three-line whip, whether you're in hospital, whether you're overseas, you come back. So I think he must also come, Chairperson. This money is a lot, 5.1 billion, Chairperson. He just need to account. I think that one will make us rest enough, or even the South Africans, they will be happy to know what has happened. Because even if people will say Aguma was dead, Aguma was doing that, if he's not here, who's going to speak for him? He must come, Chairperson, and come and account. My proposal is that we still need him. He must come and account. That's my submission.
All right. Comrade Chief Whip, welcome. Comrade Kikan?
No, thanks, Chair. I also agree with the... It's not a proposal, actually. It's a directive. But then I've got a serious problem of democratizing that is this meeting. At the end, we end up going overboard on other issues that are irrelevant on the subject matter. My appeal to you would be, immediately after the directive, we are supposed to close this meeting.
All right, you are correcting mistaken ideas, Chairman Mao. All right. Yes,
yeah, please. He's running a military zone. This is Parliament. There's some democratic process. He must emphasize that in his military there. Look, we want to say to the SABC staff, when we came to your division, sir, honestly, you told us the most honest point to say that the management on top doesn't listen to people down there, you see. That's why it does seem that we seem to be ruthless in dealing with this matter. You're not the only department that how we relate to, because to us there are a lot of genuine South Africans inside SABC, inside SASA, inside ESCOM. But the bottom line is that if you are corrupt, why should we entertain your activities? Because you are collapsing the state. You are not assisting us to be able to move ahead with the programs of delivery. You are making it very difficult for all of us. That's why there's such a lot of protest outside. We've got nothing personal about Mr. Akuma. But if you don't do your work, we've got no other option than asking you to go out and we deal with those that are prepared to do their work. So we do like a lot of people. When the chairperson said, let's go to SABC for oversight and have the feel, he always goes on like that, have the feel of what our people are going through there. Then we are able to look at the irregular expenditure, not from the point of rand and cents only, but you could have a feel of how people are within the institution. You are intimidated by yourselves, because we don't want anything wrong. We just want to be genuine. If you see the members of this committee, of SCOPA, and even Vincent, he's got the most genuine intention to assist us to be able to improve the finances of this state. Very genuine. He's using his different experiences that he have had in different institutions to be able to guide us, to make us to be able to be effective in the work that we are doing within Parliament. When Mukwang Mukwang says we are not doing our work as parliamentarians, we take that very serious. We can't undermine the Constitutional Court. We can't undermine the judge president in the way he views the institution called Parliament. So it's not an antagonistic relationship that we have with you. We have a very genuine relationship under his guide so that you could be able to deliver and be able to help you. We do it with correctional service, we do it with everybody. We have got genuine intentions. But we must tell you, that genuine intention doesn't mean that we're fools and we should be undermined. It should never happen in your mindset. You do that at your own peril, because you are very consistent, we know what we are doing here. And we're not doing it because we beg somebody else. We've got an obligation in terms of our own responsibility as parliamentarians and what we've promised our people on the ground, that we'll do things totally different and do them for the benefit of them, not for you only. So please, take our relationship as being genuine, but also be cautious that don't do things in a manner that is going to cost you and your family. Because at the end of the day, it's about you and your family. It's not about me. I have to do what is quite genuinely being expected of us as a team here to do the work correctly. My colleagues, as they are seated here, we all share we come from different streams of different parties. But all of us have got one thing in mind, is that we must do the finances in a manner that they could be able to benefit the ordinary people. We're not contesting political party views here. We are being genuine. And that's the type of example we continuously set in front of everybody, that we are a collective of people who have come to agree with each other that there's something wrong within our system. Take us as we are. We discuss as a team, and we read. We don't be ever be mistaken that we don't read anything that you present to us. We read extensively, we don't sleep because we want to provide quality to the type of views that they're presenting to us. Chairperson, as always, will be very thankful to your leadership and guidance in how you make sure that we stick to our work and we remain focused, you see. Don't take the view of running a military zone. Allow us to continue reflecting on issues. But thank you very much.
All right. I hope, Comrade Chief, you surely have seen the trouble I have managing. No, it's fine. I will hand over to the Deputy Chair, but also Manana Baloi. Hey, now I don't get a chance to move la wall. After all, SABC ile mavogweni yangu. So look, wena minga yendi ntiro wena in terms ya monitoring na supervision. Star onat and los onaga tava ilang semwe. So I'll give you an opportunity. Kwa me ashwara wu inti ntiro wena mtawa yendi according. Deputy Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Some of the questions will be dealt with by my other colleagues. So I'll start with Nomsa, who will deal with the issues around royalties.
Thank you, Chair. Essentially, we are to some extent behind with the royalty payments. I know that Samro is in the list for tomorrow's presentation. Because what we have done, the board has instituted a payment committee wherein we go and we present as and when we prepare for the payment run. But yes, the last payment that they received was in December, so the money for the last quarter for RISA is due, and also the money for the March revenue for SAMRO is due. We also have got ECHO and CAPASSO that have not been paid. The invoices are there, they're loaded, which is waiting for funds availability. So it's something we will deliberate on tomorrow to see who then gets paid. I don't know if I can email you the amounts, because I'm not sure if I'm at liberty to say the amounts here. But we do have the liability, we understand what it is.
What is the total amount?
All right, so SAMRO, the amount owing is 14.5 million. And then SAMPRA, which is not necessarily a function of the funds availability, but rather a long-standing dispute, is 52.7 million. ECHO, which is the Association of Independent Record Companies, from October 2016 to now, it's 2.8 million. RISA, which we last paid in December, so from January to April, is 2.4 million. And then CAPASSO is 3 million.
Okay. Then we'll deal with the Metro FM awards. Bessie?
Thank you, Chair. The Metro awards artists, some of them have been paid, but we had two challenges. Oh, sorry. Thank you. I'll start again. With the problem of non-payment of the artist for the awards which they were given at the Metro Awards, we had two challenges. The first was the documentation. We struggled to get verified documentation so that we could pay. But we are in the process of reconciling that, and there are documents that are coming through, but not as fast as we would have wanted. We then, as we were dealing with that problem, we then were confronted with our own problem, the cash flow problem. So some of them are in the list that's going to be paid, as Nomsa has indicated. We'll be presenting to the payment committee for allocation for that cash. So we're expecting that at the end of this month, we should have paid all of them. Thank you.
Okay.
All might lead to, you know, Makanya and I push at Maga. Yes?
one thing. Maybe I don't understand it. I just want to understand when she said the payments of Metro FM, some of them, there were problem with verification. Sitting here, I just think if I've won something, they'll just say Tapele Chilwa, and then I'll go there and have my trophy or whatever. Yeah.
Let's just say all else have been overtaken by the cash flow problem and leave it as such. Deputy Chair?
Okay. The last question was about we haven't asked for a bailout. We've asked for a guarantee from Treasury, which we would use to go and request a loan from the bank, because if we go to the bank on our own, the banks don't trust us anymore. Okay. I am at no liberty to say that my chairperson has said that this is a document that is with the minister, and she would need the minister's approval for her to authorize the disclosure of the amount. So I know that there's been a lot of violent talk here about killing the debate and all of that, and if it means you have to kill me, please. But those are my instructions. The issue around fear that was raised by Honorable Hlengwa and Honorable Kuno, it's not going to be easy. You're talking about an institution that has been subjected to this fear tactics for quite some time, and to undo that damage, it's going to take some time. So, for example, in the editorial space, we're going to be having a workshop soon that will just be looking at, telling people, you're free to actually do journalism as journalism and not some other stuff that people always wanted you to do. You are free now to do it. But even if you say so, it doesn't mean that people will tomorrow then start acting normally. But it's a process that we have to keep going on at as the board. in terms of the appointment, Honorable Mente, we agree. We have to find the people who will not only undo what has been done, but take this organization forward. Our own acceptance of this responsibility was because we realized that the SABC is a national asset that needs to be saved. And if we are going to go out and find people to come and help run the SABC, we can only go out and look for people who will do that and not people who will take us back. Honorable Chilwane, the question about the total referrals, how much it is, the CFO has committed to submitting those numbers tomorrow through the chair. And as and when I see him, I will tell him that you want him.
All right. Thanks very much. Deputy Chair, I do want to raise with you and the leadership that our staff receive many calls from SABC employees who would not have received their salaries because bursaries that had been given to them had to be recovered. I sincerely would want you to look into that, and I will check with Ben here and Tommy to see if they have taken down names, and for us to know in future that We, in fact, the first call we got was the following day after we had left the SABC when we were at the airport. So we'd want this to be looked into because I think it just cannot be right. And the fear factor that Fleur was talking about, it's something we experienced when we're there. There were documents that were requested when we were in one of the sections. Subsequent to that, anywhere and everywhere Ntombi went, there was a security fellow. When she went to the toilet, we'll stand at the door just to make sure we're not interacting with anybody within. But you know, we took it in our stride, and comrades, I can say today, sitting from here, I can see, you know, we've broken through the ceiling. I think it is now clear to everyone in the SABC that the balance of forces has shifted. And so, they must do what is right, or there is nowhere to go back to. I think that is what I'm feeling. That's the sense I'm getting, because when we were at the SABC and when we met here, you could feel, you could see the energy that was there. So I think we're making progress. It's dialectics. Dialectica. Huh? It's a process. that was the University of Ideological Training. Mana, what do you have to say for your department that is supposed to be a parent but was there and it was not there?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. As the Minister has stated earlier, is that, you know, we are committed, you know, to implement the recommendations of SCOPA. And in terms of the SABC, we've got a unit called Entity Oversight that looks after, you know, the all the entities, including the SABC. We are committed, you know, to assist them. We continue to assist them, you know, on a daily basis. But however, as the Minister stated, that, you know, there are no systems, you know, or adequate systems in certain areas, we'll be actually looking at all the areas that, you know, that requires, you know, compliance, especially with the PFMA, you know. It's worrisome if, you know, you get, you know, executives that, you know, in terms of the Public Finance Management Act, actually do not support the accounting officer to ensure that, you know, he or she does what is expected to do. That is one of the priority areas that we are going to look at. And again, in terms of the segregation of duties, as you heard, that, you know, the supply chain management area is a problematic area. We will be, you know, assisting, and where possible, we'll also engage the Office of the Chief Procurement Officer from National Treasury to come in and assist, you know, in that particular regard. I think you also heard the issues of skills. I think the board will deal with that, but that is one aspect that the board will need to prioritize in terms of putting the right people with the right skills in the right positions, and also, you know, focus on the skills development, the reskilling of employees, you know, to actually be prepared, you know, for the digital era, because that is one of the complex priorities, you know, that the SABC is faced with. And regardless of, you know, the challenges, I think we have not actually, and we always pray in the department that, you know, we're not going to reach the stage of blackout, you know, in the SABC. There's work that has started, you know, that is giving us hope, that, you know, that is being done. And as far as the other departments that will help us with the unfunded mandate of the broadcaster, we'll be engaging them, you know, as soon as possible to ensure that, you know, we share the cost and moving into an area of content development, we are not found wanting with a digital migration project. But I think it needs all of us, and we appreciate the fact that you have committed not to be targeting us,
and we are happy that, you know, the Hawks did not pitch up today. And so we will be, we are committed as a department, we'll work very hard, and we have also picked up one important thing that, you know, at the SABC, that, you know, during their induction, you know, they do not ultimately, you know, induct their own employees. That even if we say that it's a national key point, if you appointed someone and, you know, contravene the law, they might play in the ignorance game. So we are working with the state security, you know, to ensure that, you know, what the SABC is supposed to comply with, comply, and we'll also build in capacity around that area so that the challenges do not recur.
Okay. Thank you very much. Comrades, three things. One, this document that we got from the Legal Service of Parliament on the SASA judgment, let's just read it and study it. Two, let's remember, she says they have something called oversight, entity oversight. I think when we have the SABC, that group must come, because it means their responsibility is to look after the welfare of the entities within the department. What are they doing? Thanks very much, Comrade Chief Whip. There is lunch. So make sure it is not fruitless and wasteful expenditure. It must be consumed. Thanks very much, Deputy Chair and Management. All of the best.